This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Nash Carter to my Wesley, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, what are you doing?
I'm YouTubing. I'm a YouTuber now. If you want to watch us on YouTube, this is the time to start because that's what we do. But I'm just... you know, being myself, being a goofy personality like MSK.
Yeah, almost a radical or something.
I'm big on the character acting, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm a radical.
Rascal.
Oh, I was going to be like Dean Malenko or something.
I know. I always get that. I always say it wrong because they're the they were the rascals. And then
they were the radicals.
No, Dean Malenko was the radicals.
This is too difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mari, how's it going?
I'm pretty sure they were the rascals.
I don't know who the rascals. I don't remember who the rascals
MSK.
Look.
Yes, I knew I was right.
You're always right. Like if there's I was kind of wrong question, first. I will agree with you. Just know for anyone who's listening, Mari is always right. At Mari is always right.
Yeah.
Is
ooh, that's a good one. That's a
words
good
IS or the letters IS. Yeah. We
that should might keep be too going. Many letters.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, Matt, how's your week? How was it?
It's good. It's good.
A little
it's,
short it's week good. For us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird. We're not usually here so soon on a Thursday talking about wrestling, talking about the week, but a lot's happened already. It's been action packed. But
yeah,
you know, how's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, conclusion of the draft, you know, a lot of the NXT 2.0 action going, like that show is so good. And then, you know, finishing up the week with AEW, kind of sad we're going to not be able to talk about the SmackDown. They just announced the first match for the Queen's Crown tournament. It is Liv Morgan versus Carmella. So it's another match we've already seen before, but we'll be back the week after that to recap everything that happens. But this week we had to do it. We had to come early because we had a very special guest. But before we do that, let's talk about a little bit of news. First thing. AEW, they got a new TBS title. First off, I was like, why is it the TBS title? Well, they also announced that they're going to be moving to TBS in January. I think my husband was saying it might be because of basketball, but I'm not sure. I haven't really read up. I don't know if it's a permanent move or what, but they're currently on TNT, but they're going to be on TBS, apparently. No, I don't.
I did not ask the important questions with this one, which is why it had TBS. I just was okay with it, with TBS being on the title. And I will also say that is it's not the ugliest championship we've seen. Let's put it like that. Let's start with the positive, you know? Yeah. It's good to have a positive mindset with these things, right, Mari? Yeah. Not the ugliest you've seen either, right?
Exactly. There we go. We have a picture up. Hopefully you're watching us on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube. If not, let me kind of describe this belt here.
It's kind of, honestly, there are a lot of pretty aspects to it.
Yeah. It's round.
It is round and golden.
Mostly gold. It's gold with a little bit of silver sparkle. It has a big old TBS logo.
Nobody
can
see that's not the, cute.
Big old, and then it says champion in like blue under it. Like, honestly, this close up is not a really good close up, but from baby afar,
blue, yeah, it's baby blue.
From afar, the belt doesn't look too, I mean, it doesn't look too bad.
It doesn't look too good either from afar, which is the other problem. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think this always happens. Like, when you introduce a new belt, people are always going to argue over the design, and it's always going to look like weird at first, but you know, you get used to it. But the more important thing, other than what it looks like, is it's a secondary championship for the women. That's the big thing.
That is huge.
Yeah. How you feel about that, Matt?
I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that they have another, literally repeating the obvious, but they have another championship for the women. And in most promotions, they don't have a secondary singles title for the women. So that's notable. But, you know, I think it is also unfortunate how some of the attention has shifted to the look of the championship, which happens in wrestling.
I mean, we just
a lot. Mm-hmm. But it is it's cool that it's a women's championship that's not called like the TBS Women's Championship. It's just the TBS title, the TBS Championship, which is really cool. And that's
even realize that.
It's in that way, you know, I would argue that it's making a little bit of history because there's nothing in the title to indicate that it's for the women, which progress, maybe? Question mark.
Yeah. No, that's good. Like, honestly, I think this is where WWE has dropped the ball considerably. Adding in all of those women's tag team titles while you do not have a women's tag team division and you keep actively splitting up your women's tag teams. Like, it just doesn't make sense when you could have a secondary title. You know, the men's secondary title titles traditionally are the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title, and those are normally known as the workhorse titles. Those are the titles you put on the people you want who can go and who are going to constantly defend. And this is what it seems like AEW is trying to do with the TBS title for the women. They already have the TNT title for the men. So I'm so excited to see who's going to be the first person to be crowned with the TBS title. A lot of people were, you know, saying maybe Ruby Riott, maybe Thunder Rosa, you know. Yeah, I'm really excited to see how that goes. And I think this is one of those steps where AEW just did a great job coming out with this, because I want to see it. Really, really.
I don't know if we talked about this or speculated at all about the secondary championship for AEW at all, but Ruby Riott would make so much sense after the debut we saw for her.
Yeah, recently. I was about to say, I think we did when she did. I think we did say something about it.
We did.
Because it was on the horn for a while. Yeah, now.
We know secrets. We're insiders.
I wouldn't say all that, but
I mean. I did. Sorry.
So I'm excited. I can't wait to see where they go with this. But also, it needs to be pointed out, if you're going to have another women's championship like title, you know, and not even with women not being in the title or whatever, that's great. But they need more screen time. So hopefully this leads to way more women's screen time, because AEW really, really needs that. So next up, speaking of women's wrestling, we just got an announcement that WOW Superheroes is back, which was like originally a women's wrestling company back in the early 2000s. From what I understand, the guy who created GLOW was also created WOW in the 2000s. I forget what it stands for, the women of wrestling or superheroes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's the women. We're going to go with women of wrestling.
Yeah, it is. Women of Wrestling.
Yes.
And then their show, I think, is WOW Superheroes or something like that. Apparently, like, a lot of people liked it in the early 2000s. The big news is that AJ Mendez, also known as AJ Lee, Yes, there you go. The magnificent AJ Lee. She is going to be a executive producer on the show. So no word if she'll actually wrestle, but they're saying that she's supposed to be a producer on the show. So good for her.
Yeah, great. I mean, yeah, really good for her. And I think at the end of the day, actually, one of the things, any wrestling rap fan who might be looking closely at my bookshelf might have realized that I've always had this book, Crazy is My Superpower, by AJ Mendez Brooks, AJ Lee, in other words, on my bookshelf. I love this book, and she's awesome. And it's, I think one thing that's so cool is that she is such an advocate for just mental health in general, and has spoke so openly about her own experiences with mental health, and just the fact that she is still willing to grace us in the wrestling world with her glorious presence. I don't know what we did to deserve that, honestly. Like,
there you go.
I really don't. So very thankful for that. Excited for her. You know, well, there are other reasons not to watch the show. Maybe Tessa Blanchard, just to spoil it, you know, some problematic people, that happens in wrestling.
Just a little bit.
That doesn't, but you know, we don't need to watch.
We might not watch, but definitely congrats to AJ Lee.
Yeah, we'll go to Twitter and watch clips and stuff, and maybe even YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just move on because I don't even want to get into that.
You're like, yeah, I don't know about that either.
Yeah, I just like, no, I will definitely keep up on Twitter. That's one thing I can definitely do when it comes to some of the promotions.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Especially some of the promotions I don't follow. But like, I just don't understand how they put out a whole promotional package. They shot a really nice trailer for WOW Wrestling, and then they reveal that Tessa Blanchard is the person they're building their division around. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, thanks.
You want to know my reaction?
What?
Wow.
So it worked.
It worked.
And then her, you see her, who her first opponent is?
Didn't care to check. Who is it?
A black woman. So.
Who is it?
No, for real, like I don't know, because I was like, all right, so they're gonna put her in there.
It's probably someone we probably don't know, right?
No, I don't know. I just don't, I didn't even want to bring it up. I just don't, I'm just tired. I'm really tired, like, honestly. It is so hard, like, wrestling, when it comes to wrestling, and then like your morals, we kind of talked about this last week in talking about like Crown Jewel and stuff like that. It is so hard to like really put things on the back burner for you to enjoy the entertainment. Like, it really is. And that's why I always say, you know, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everybody. You know, if it's not something that you want to watch, you don't need to watch it, you know? And
it's true.
I'm just not going to watch this. So,
I'm sorry to her opponent.
Yeah,
I don't know your name personally.
Yeah,
but to be fair, when does the show debut? Is it January?
I'm not sure.
We have time. We have time to learn more.
I'm more excited that the knockout pay-per-view is this week.
What's the name of the, is it the knock? I want to call it the Knockouts Knockdown, but yes, I've been really excited.
Knockouts,
I've been
knockdown.
Really excited about all of the women I've seen like pop up there.
Yes, I'm excited too
for that. So I actually should watch. I think, you know, it's unfortunate because even when we started this podcast, you know, there's only so much time that we have in a week to watch wrestling, especially when it's on like on the same nights or on strange networks or not available on YouTube necessarily for us to add to clips. Not saying that this applies at all to Impact Wrestling, but it's a lot. It's a lot. So
it sure is.
Yeah. So, but they always have a lot of interesting stuff over.
And my new TV package gets like MLW. It gets ROH.
What TV package is it?
And it's just like a Verizon. They have like
they could be a sponsor.
It also gets New Japan. I'm just like, I have access to like almost all of it. I'm like, I just do not have the time, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyways. I will actually no. But actually, since you're mentioning that, that pay-per-view, the Knockouts Knockdown, I'll just very quickly say, I pulled out what's it called? Bracket. Like Chelsea Green is there. Rachel Ellering is going to be in that. Mercedes Martinez is going to be in it. I am also excited that Jamie Senegal, who was like mentor or would use the phrase daughter, the daughter, so to speak, of Daphne is going to be in this tournament. So that's I was happy to see that, too. And
yeah,
it's definitely it sounds like it's worth watching.
Did they dedicated that tournament to Daphne, right?
If not, they better because, but I think they probably did. I have seen her name around.
Look at us. Look at us being unprepared on this glorious Thursday.
We are just going into territory
that we did not mean to go into.
We did not mean to go into, but we couldn't help ourselves. But yes, yeah. Yes, the main event of the show will feature a Monsters Ball match in honor of Daphne, aka Shannon Spruill, better known as Daphne. Who was one of the first women to compete in a Monsters Ball against Taylor Wilde. So the more you know, that was right off the top. All of that. Don't check Wikipedia to see if I plagiarized that.
Well, I mean, that's some interesting news from this world of wrestling. It is interesting. If you want to send us any of your long form questions, you can always send an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Wrestling Rehap Up and join the conversation at hashtag Wrestling Rehap Up. Matt, where can the... Oh, nope.
Well, where can the people find the Wrestling Rehap Up? Where can they find the Patreon? I can tell them it all because I'm a patron, Mark. We're going to have to cut this out.
No, we don't. Okay, good. Y'all, it's a Thursday. It is late at night. We are tired.
We'll be here.
Yeah. But yeah, so
shortest episode ever.
You said what? Shortest episode ever.
Shortest episode ever.
All right. If you can also submit questions if you are a part of Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group. That is the unofficial official patron group of Rob Has a Podcast. You can also find our podcast feed, the Wrestling Rehap Up, wherever you get your podcasts. And again, hopefully you're looking at our beautiful floundering faces here on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page. And of course, Matt, it's that time of the month. Everybody should be joining the Patreon, the RHAP Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/RHAP to become an RHAP patron and to have exclusive access to podcasts, to patron only Q&As. This is the perfect time, not only because it's the beginning of the month, but because it's Survivor season.
Yeah, Survivor. Woo! Actually, wait a minute, Mari.
What?
Speaking of Survivor,
okay,
you just did the Q&A, the patron Q&A.
Oh yes, I did. I just did the RHAP Survivor patron Q&A, and you could too if you were a patron of RHAP. You could have joined me at the patron Q&A. Not you, Matt. You were there, but you know what I'm saying.
No, but I wasn't like in it. Like, you know, like shout out to Solomon. I always love him on the Q&As. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him. That guy seems like a lot of fun. We need to catch up with him at some point. But you know, you could be a patron like Solomon, be part of the patron Q&As and kind of be part of all this content that we're creating at RHAP. So check it out. And again, we're patrons, so you could be, you know, getting to know us and other RHP podcasters while you get to know this community.
Yeah. And that's us fumbling through the plugs. So without further ado, Matt.
Let me tell you, I think that part of what's going on right now is that we're just really flustered because today we have an all-star guest. We have a one-of-a-kind guest, someone who is in the pantheon of the Rob Has a Podcast Survivor universe. And let me just say, let me clear my throat. So, making her way to the podcast, hailing from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, she is an RHAP podcaster covering Global Survivor, an editor, a commentator, someone who is so awesome that we can't keep up with her, let's be real. But today we are welcoming the one, the only, one of everyone's two favorite pro chachos. Please welcome Shannon Goss.
Yes. Shannon, welcome. Thank you. Everything I've learned about wrestling over the last 24 hours makes me think I should now like hit you over the head with a chair you're the announcer. That would be, no one would do that.
Hit me with it. Sure.
It's happened.
Oh, it's happened? That doesn't surprise me, actually. See, I feel like I'm already getting it.
You exactly already have
going on. Yeah.
I'm like, that would happen. You have choice. It's good. You have it all figured out.
Yeah, chair. I've chosen chair. That's what I want.
We're so excited to have you. An actual professional podcaster has just joined this podcast.
We need that, actually, tonight. No, so thank you.
No, I love you guys. That's why I'm here, because I know nothing about wrestling. I prepped a bit over the last day, but I still feel like I know nothing about wrestling. But I just wanted to hang out with you guys, so thank you for having me. That's why I'm here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to make a fool of myself, and I'm excited about that.
Yes, exactly. This is like, honestly, this is a great podcast and we do it for the wrestling fans, but it's only just an excuse for us to hang out with cool people, to be quite
mostly
honest. Yeah, that's all it really secret really is. So for those of you who don't know, which I don't know if you wouldn't know, but Shannon is like the foremost, like you are our international survivor like expert. Should we refer to it as like Survivor Global? Is that the brand that you would go with when describing what you do, Shannon?
I don't know, it's kind of muddy. Like Survivor Global is what I refer to as like my US Survivor podcast. So I cover US Survivor with international guests. I do Australian Survivor. I do Survivor South Africa. I did Survivor New Zealand. Long may it rest. So basically, all the English speaking franchises. And yeah, that's my job. Well, yeah, kind of. That's my side job. Yeah. I'm talking about that on RHAP. So yeah, that's my usual world. And I usually come in like with as much knowledge as I possibly can due to my imposter syndrome. But with this, I really don't know a lot about wrestling at all. Like it really is like, and it's a whole world. Like it truly felt like learning a new language badly. And then I will now stumble through it on this podcast.
Relatable.
Yes, and stumbling. We appreciate you stumbling with us.
Yeah.
Just guide me. Stumbles. Take my hand. Help
me. We'll fall together.
So
Shannon, like I don't know how much International Survivor Matt has watched, but I've watched.
Don't drag me.
I don't know.
You didn't mean to do that. You don't need to expose me.
I
watch Shannon, and Shannon is International Survivor. So by the transitive property, I've watched all of International Survivor.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I have personally set eyes on Champions versus Contenders, the All-Star season for Australia, and then oh my god, what was the one that was before Champions versus Contenders?
Is this a quiz?
No, I'm not. It's not.
She's really good.
You're making me feel a little better about what I'm about to do.
Exactly. And this is why. And this is, I am putting our guest at ease.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
I'm putting our guest at ease. But I say all that to say, because one of the first things we wanted to talk to you about before we get into our highlights, it's because we never really had time to bring it up. But one of the Australian survivors is an active WWE wrestler.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen his season, was one of the one seasons that I'd never watched. Can you give us just a little bit about his name is Maddie Wahlberg, right?
Yes.
But he goes by Grayson Waller in WWE. Yeah. Matt pulled up the picture. Can you give us just a little bit about, like, maybe his experience, what he went through? Tell the listeners about him, because tell us about him, because we don't know either.
Yeah.
What we've seen.
So he was, you know, a pre-merger, but so his whole thing was like he would like trash talk at the challenges. And I was, and he would, he's like a main opponent because Australian Survivor, there's a lot of wrestling challenges and it's like very physical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, they all kind of have like one-to-one opponents. And his opponent was a good friend of mine, actually, who I co-host Talking Tribal with on Channel 10. And like, I didn't at the time, but like, he's a fan favorite, one of like the most popular Australian Survivor contestants ever. So the fact that he was like trash talking this guy so aggressively, like, I was pretty harsh on him. I'm like, who is this fool, basically, this joker? And then he came on the X interview and was, like, pretty funny about it. And then I've met him subsequently several times because he was, like, on Talking Tribal as a guest and, like, at viewing parties I've met him. And he's, like, a super nice guy. And I was like, what were you doing on the show? Just, like, aggressively trash talking. And it only made sense to me last night. Having discovered what wrestling is, because that's what wrestling is. And now it actually provided so much context to why he was doing that and why I was put off by it. And it felt so, it was performative because that's not who he is, but that's how he like gets into game mode and challenge mode. So I understand it now, but for years, and certainly while covering it, I was like, what is happening? So I'm glad to know it now. Important context.
And this is a great picture, Matt. Thank you. Matt is bringing up a picture of Maddie while he was on Survivor. And that's the thing. I wish I could, maybe if I find the video, I'll send it to you afterwards. But the clips that we send you or whatever WWE and AEW put out,
right,
it's always never the full extent of the match or the promo, whatever it is, it's never the full length of the thing. But he had a really good promo on WWE NXT 2.0. I think it was the second week when he challenged in the match that you saw him actually in this week. He did lose a match. You had pointed out that he lost the match. But honestly, losing a match is not always the bad thing. You know what I'm saying? It's how you look in the defeat.
It's about how you play the game.
He was, he did well, and then he lost. I was like, no, I was like really, really rooting for him because he's a really nice guy. Like, I'm so happy for him. Like, I saw that he became a professional wrestler on WWE, and I didn't really understand that, but I was like, good job, Patty Wahlberg. Yeah, that's awesome. That's
supportive.
So cool. Yeah. Yeah,
and I like him. Like, you telling me, you giving me his backstory is really interesting because I really liked his promo that he did the second night. It was very, his music, I could find this clip, but like his music is very like hip hop esque. And he came out like kind of bouncing, like he had like a swagger to him.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to see his character. So it's a good start, like requesting a championship match and then getting it, even if you're losing in it, he looked like a million bucks. So I'm excited to see where he goes from here. And this reality TV star to wrestler pipeline is just getting longer and longer by the day.
Yeah. And I'll also just throw in there, I was listening to a podcast interview that that Maddie did or Grayson Waller did, but I think it was pre-Grayson Waller, with one of our listeners who's a podcaster, Stan C, who's the creator of the Wrestling Podcast. So Stan was talking with him about Survivor and about wrestling. And it was interesting because I didn't realize this until I listened to that a week or two ago. Just that Maddie was a school teacher or a substitute teacher and also a wrestler, but now he's kind of really, really, really a wrestler, so kind of a big deal.
Someone
I'm excited to see more of in wrestling, and I'm sure we'll talk about him more on the podcast as this train keeps on going. I don't know why I'm working in a transportation metaphor, but it happened.
But they even like said, they were like, he called himself a survivor. And I was like the like Leonardo DiCaprio meme pointing at the TV. I was like, they said the line. Like, the mission survivor. I was like, that's why I'm here. For that one slide reference passing.
They kept dropping that in. They kept there were multiple times where they've used the word survivor without saying that he was on Survivor. I don't know if that's trying to get sued, but
yeah.
But it was good, and it's such a good it's such a good place for starting for him. So I'm so glad you gave us a little bit of background. Hopefully that helped the listeners too. So in, unless you don't have any more questions for Shannon, right, Matt?
Me?
I mean, questions.
I'm just asking.
I always do. I'm just like, Shannon, otherwise, you know, we've talked a little bit about survival. What have you been up to?
Pretty much that. Survivor. I just finished covering Australian Survivor and Survivor South Africa. I just finished my last deep dive for Survivor South Africa like 3 days ago. And so that was a lot. I have been in lockdown now for like coming up on 300 days. Not all in a row.
Oh my gosh.
But since the whole of Australian Survivor, I've been in lockdown. So I've just been here watching and podcasting about Survivor pretty much. Get out of lockdown in like a couple of weeks to a month, probably. Fingers crossed. So that's basically been what's going on. But thank you for having me. Like, I wanted to say my like main takeaways from my like macro takeaways from watching was like, you know, one of the reasons I love Survivor is because I love like the whole culture and like the world of it and the fact that you can do like trivia competitions going back 40 seasons and then it like extrapolates out to even international, like the fandom of it basically. And I can tell that like wrestling, while I know nothing about it, is that like whole very immersive world, which I appreciate. And then I feel like I wanted to talk to you guys because you're like so passionate about it. And again, even though I don't understand it, like watching people be passionate about things is, I love that because I'm like passionate about so many things myself. So like watching the love that you have for it, I feel like that is inspiring to me. So while this will be a little bit of like wrestling 101 for me and you will have to hold my hand so that I don't fall over, I'm excited to watch you guys do your thing and then make silly comments from the side. So that is basically what we're doing here.
Yeah, and I think there's also, it's interesting because, you know, wrestling pops up in a lot of different places. Mari referenced the pipeline, reality TV to Survivor pipeline. But, you know, I would be, I need to acknowledge the fact that you were one half of the Brochachos on the Black Widow Brigade. That's a whole other podcast that I'm on. But, you know, one of the Brochachos was none other than John Morrison. We're not talking about him this week, but pro wrestler extraordinaire. So Shannon, you are just surrounded by wrestling.
That must have been such a thrill for you guys when he was it? Was that a thrill?
When he was on?
Yeah, when he was on.
Like,
yeah, he's a big deal.
He's huge in the wrestling world. So it was just literally. Like, I was just kind of like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he did a great job. And he was like, when he went home, it was like one of the greatest blindsides of that season. And I mean,
he was cool.
That's a great way to go, you know? So I was shocked he was on it, to be quite honest. It was fun.
Yeah.
And we will talk about another reality TV star who was in a clip that you watched, Shannon, that I bet you don't know.
I'm like, who's that?
Survivor. Like, was it a Survivor player? Because otherwise.
It was Big Brother.
Johnny Fairplay wrestled.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's not talk about that.
I don't
think
he did. I don't. He did not technically wrestled, like, not like the tussling around thing. He was just there on the outside of the ring for the most part. But he did a good job. He did a really good job, right?
Didn't he hold a championship at one point?
No, probably not. Jenna Maraska, she wrestled.
My God. So Shannon, Jenna Maraska is in the legitimately worst wrestling match of all time. I'm not being like facetious when I say that. It is the consensus worst wrestling match of all time.
Why? What makes something the worst? This is great. I see this is a great way to learn.
She was not trained to be a wrestler.
Right?
At all, though.
That is the main thing.
Oh God, what happened? Is she okay?
She hung around the wrestling business I don't remember how long it was, but shouldn't have people wrestling who don't know how to wrestle, who aren't trained.
She was not trained. Yeah. Plus, she was in the ring against another non wrestler. Like she was.
That's just fighting.
That would be
badly. And when I tell you, Shannon, like, wrestling fans cannot agree on anything. Like, we can not agree on anything.
Heard that.
But everybody agrees that was the worst wrestling match ever.
united in that day. Heart.
She I'm going to really send you put, so many articles after this.
Yeah, that'll.
I want to see it. I want to watch it.
It is.
Oh, don't worry. You will watch it. And you know what? I'd love to see her back on Survivor. That's all I'm going to say. Probably not back in wrestling.
She's trained to be on Survivor. That's her expertise.
Right.
She's kind of like me. Like, she came out of her Survivor world into the wrestling world, which I am doing right now. And it went super poorly for her. So but, this is my worst wrestling podcast consensus of all time.
No, it's not. Because we are experienced wrestling podcasters and we can help you. That is the whole point of wrestling.
Yes.
When you're wrestling somebody, you're supposed to equally make each other look good. And some people just do not have the skills to do that. We do. They did not. We try. So there you go.
Fingers crossed.
Let's get into the highlights of the week. Each week we go into the highlights of wrestling, either from Raw, AEW, or NXT 2.0. We're going to start off with Raw. We have to start with the draft results. So the draft concluded on Raw. I don't know why this felt anticlimactic to me in a way. I have no idea why, but I was just kind of bored. Like with SmackDown, when it first started, it felt like a pretty good show, but the Raw draft show was just kind of like meh. So I'm just going to read the list of the people who were drafted. So Becky Lynch was first overall to Raw, even though she kind of just demanded to be on Raw. TBD. We'll see.
She spoiled it. I think that, like, I'm assuming the contracts were signed. The ink might have still been wet. Maybe she wasn't supposed to announce it.
Gotcha.
But that's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
I don't think she has that much power, Mari.
Either way, she was just like, y'all, don't even pay attention to the first pick because I'm just telling you right now. Followed by, and this is who got drafted. I'm not going to do the draft order. I'm just going to tell you who got drafted to each brand that night. So Becky went to Raw. Bobby Lashley stayed on Raw. Seth Rollins went to Raw. Damian Priest, who is the U.S. champion right now, he stayed on Raw. AJ and Omos. I always say his name wrong, Matt. Why do I say his name wrong? AJ and Omos stayed on Raw. Kevin Owens drafted to Raw. Street Profits drafted to Raw. Finn Balor drafted to Raw. Karrion Kross stayed on Raw. Alexa Bliss stayed on Raw. Carmella drafted to Raw. And the only thing funny about the Carmella draft was Corey Graves going like bananas on commentary that she got drafted because they are dating. So it was kind of very funny.
He did too much.
He did a lot. Yeah, he really did. He did a lot. We also had Gable Stevenson was the last person drafted to Raw. So Matt is gone, but we'll keep going because this is what happens on Thursday night wrestling wrap-ups. And finally, for SmackDown, we got the Usos stayed on SmackDown, which Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, made sure that the Usos stayed on SmackDown. Sasha Banks also stayed on SmackDown. King Nakamura and Rick Boogs stayed on SmackDown. Sheamus went to SmackDown. Shayna went to SmackDown. Xia Li drafted from NXT to SmackDown. Viking Raiders went to SmackDown. Ricochet went to SmackDown. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza went to SmackDown. Cesaro stayed on SmackDown. Ridge Holland drafted from NXT to SmackDown. And then Sami Zayn stayed on SmackDown. So, Shannon, that was just a lot of names, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
just
that was like a different language.
It was. But what happens is the way WWE is set up, they have three brands. So they have Raw, they have NXT, and then they have SmackDown. We're not talking about SmackDown today because SmackDown comes on Fridays and we're recording on Thursday. Obby. So this is the draft. The reason why they do a draft once a year is because those brands, when people are drafted to those brands, they stay on those brands and they fight people within those brands unless, you know, a storyline dictates otherwise. So, and then it's kind of like a way to make sure you keep your feuds fresh and stuff like that. And you kind of mix people up every once so often. But, the draft again, once it gets down to this portion, really, it's just kind of like meh. And there's nothing we can really talk about until like next week, until we see what this really comes of it. What, Matt, why are you making that face?
It's just a lot. It's a lot of names. And that's the thing. Like, it's a lot of names moving around and you don't know what it's going to look like in like the feuds and the storylines. But that's one thing that's so fun about the draft and so interesting and exciting is that you don't know what's going to come up next, which I feel like we as wrestling fans are really bad at not knowing what's coming up next. But I think it is one of the exciting things. Like, ooh, these two people are on the same brand. Like, we saw the match that happened on Raw between Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those are the types of things that are enabled when you have new people shifted to the same show, even though they're going to be on opposite shows. But still, it's just cool to see the new something new that's not like the same match you've seen multiple times, right?
And this draft is also a little different because it doesn't go into effect until October 22nd, I want to say, which is after Crown Jewel. So that's still like 2 more weeks of them just like doing whatever they want to do until people are like separate into their corners. So
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all: marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I mean, it's a little bit interesting, but let's go into our first storyline that we'll be covering. And that has to be Becky Lynch, The Man, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, and then, of course, Sasha Banks. Like, we get Becky coming out, spoiling that she's going to Raw, which I was like, okay. And then Charlotte Flair comes out because what happened on SmackDown the previous week was Bianca and Sasha were in a match. Becky was at ringside. Becky interfered in the match. Then Charlotte came out of nowhere and clocked everybody. So these four women are kind of like weirdly feuding, but it's really like, I don't know what's going on here, to be quite honest. Shannon, like, don't worry. We all do not know what's going on. Because I think they're still trying to just figure out where this is going to land. Because Charlotte is the Raw Women's Champion. You see her belt here. It's red. She is drafted to SmackDown, which is the blue brand. Becky Lynch is holding the SmackDown Women's Championship, which is the blue title, and she is on Raw now. It does not make sense. So unless some belts are going to change hands within these next 2 weeks, or they've done it before where they just kind of like handed the titles over, like Charlotte Flair could just hand her title over to Becky and Becky can hand it. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with this. And that's why it's very, very confusing. But before we kind of speculate, what did you think about this opening promo here where Becky Lynch comes out, then she's confronted by Charlotte Flair, and then Bianca Belair comes out? What stood out to you in that that first clip?
Well, this was like my first introduction to wrestling because it was what I watched. And I thought, oh, this is terrifying. like these people stand in a ring, they're just talking, and then someone comes out and now they're fighting. And anyone else can come into the ring and join the fight. And I thought, what is this? that seems really scary. Like, this wasn't like, all right, you're both in your separate corners and that, like, people just talking. I found that a lot of people having an interview, just communicating, and then bam, they're fighting. And this was my first introduction to that, I feel. It was shocking to me.
Yeah, wrestling, especially with WWE, it, you know, the people complain sometimes, but wrestling really is a stage play. It really is. When they're building a storyline, they will let people talk, you know, to build the story.
So much talking.
The tension. Yeah.
Yeah. Wrestling is like mostly talking. Seriously, that was like my biggest takeaway. I was like, 70% talking and 30% actually hitting each other with chairs.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, in service of the storylines, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to stand here in the ring and talk about my history, hating this person and fighting this person and why they messed with my family. And like, that's wrestling. That's wrestling.
That's wrestling.
So I think that it's interesting to kind of get that thought from you. Cause yeah, that is most of what wrestling is. And I will say that your comment reminds me of, I think, like an episode of South Park from years and years ago,
where they were
showing wrestling, and it literally was like 99%
just them talking.
Yeah, so that was my like casual takeaway. I was like, they are like super villains in movies who are just like standing there giving their whole plan. You're like, get out the ring.
Yeah,
you're about to get beat up. Or, but I guess that is your job, like to beat each other up. But like, I feel like anytime anyone stood in the middle of the ring giving some sort of speech, it always kind of ended up with people fighting, which makes sense because it's wrestling. So I know, I thought it was entertaining. A lot of this, it just seems really dangerous to me and scary. We'll get to some of the other clips where like I was like, is that person alive? Like, I don't understand. that looked like a real injury to me.
Hopefully.
But this one was a little more mild, which is good.
Definitely. Also too, to me, the matches can be the boring parts, especially if there's no storyline. So we also don't want to make like overload you guys with like actual matches, because I'm not going to ask you, how do you think that person took a swinging neck breaker? You know what I'm saying? So, we also don't. There's no point.
In that is true. Like, I felt the actual fighting resonated like the least with me, unless it was like gratuitously violent, because then obviously I was like, oh. But yeah, like the storylines, when I like got to know the characters more, that I could understand. And then you like found out things about their background, which then I subsequently Googled and found that was all fake. I don't know how to use that word. But like, like the Australian wrestler Indie, is it?
Yeah, Indy Hartwell.
She was talking about her husband, so I like looked her up. She was Australian. And her husband's not even a real husband. And I felt really betrayed by that.
Yeah,
like, I assumed she'd actually got married, but they said it was her, like, not fake, on-screen, on-stage husband.
Yes.
And, I mean, her entire personality was, like,
based on
how much stuff they were doing. And I was like, it's not even her husband. And that was like a rude awakening, I feel, about what wrestling is.
I should have warned you.
It's all lies.
That storyline in particular, and we'll get to it, it's literally built around her and that guy getting married. So that's why it's like that
overtly
built. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
that's why she just kept talking about it.
Yeah.
Because the story we're at, she just came back from a honeymoon. But there was probably no honeymoon.
We saw clips of that too. There was a bed. There was a beach.
Yeah.
Wow.
They built that world. Yeah.
That goes deep.
Can you? And who are we to say?
Yeah.
Who are we to say what's fake and what's real? It was. Maybe she believes it. Maybe she believes.
Well,
in
that would
story.
Be bad.
Honestly, yeah. That like, storyline was so good, Shannon, that I was like hoping they were kind of together.
Oh yeah, God. I could see that.
Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like if you watch a movie and you're like, oh, I wish these people, or a TV show where like, wow, I wish these people were really together. You know, like Schitt's Creek, like Patrick and David. You're like, it's sad that they're not. You know, like that. Like when you really love a couple,
exactly.
You want the actors to be. So I get that. But it was like a scary thing.
That's
I was
so
saying pre-record that the only understanding I have of wrestling before the last 24 hours is that I watched Young Rock the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I truly believe you guys didn't even watch the whole season. You're like the wrestling people. I kept saying to my husband, I was like, the show is so weird. And we've never heard of anyone else who watches it. Like, I don't even know that the show truly exists or if it's something we're just kind of imagining together.
And your dream.
But what I learned through that was you never say the word fake because Young Rock did not like that.
You shouldn't say fake. You should say scripted. But like, honestly, I'm not going to Andre the Giant pick you up and say it's
I know
not
Andre
fake.
The Giant.
Yeah.
Because of Young Rock.
Yes.
This is a show I watched. The whole thing. There were 11 episodes.
It was actually a really good show. It was a good show. I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time to watch
it. 20-minute episodes. Like, I feel like you could make... You could... Anyway.
No.
It's Shannon. It is,
I'm like, Shannon.
I have not watched anything for pleasure in weeks.
Shannon, no.
I get you.
We have responsibilities. You. All sorts of... Mostly watching other wrestling.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Watching wrestling or podcasting about other reality TVs.
Yes.
But it just makes me feel bad that I... On the wrestling podcast, and the only one who watched Young Rock in its entirety.
Oh, no,
you should have told us. We would have binged it just for
dragged.
You.
Because
no,
I only knew
we
know
we are
you guys.
Dragged.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. I would have finished it either.
We could turn this into the Young Rock recap right now. I mean, honestly,
how
I wouldn't be surprised.
We didn't watch so, it.
I don't know anything about wrestling.
Shannon's watched it.
Oh, no.
It was weird. My husband is obsessed with The Rock. Like, The Rock is his favorite celebrity.
Is awesome.
So that's why he insisted on watching Young Rock, and it was a very weird show. But I feel like it prepared me for this moment.
There you go.
I know Andre the Giant. So
it was a pretty good. It did have a lot of accuracies within it. But one thing that's so like interesting is just the contrast between what wrestling was then in the 80s versus what it is now, where people like even the wrestlers acknowledge that it's scripted. All
it's
that
no
stuff,
longer kayfabe
predetermined and so it is interesting that like they still beat each other up and do what they still do wrestling, and actually there's a lot more athleticism involved, probably because people are like, I don't want to see people like doing like really bad fake fighting, I want to see really good fake fighting, and that's what wrestling is today. And so I think that it is interesting though that even without that with the understanding that it's not real in the traditional sense, don't drag me, people.
It's real to you.
It's real to me. And
it's real,
you know,
in our
lives. Like what's there now is like so amazing to watch. And it is a lot of fun for people. And you mentioned the mic skills, the promos, all of it. It is a world unto itself.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I choose to believe that Indy is married to that man.
Yeah, because it's called suspending your belief.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Do it.
So we in the second clip, we get Bianca versus Charlotte. Matt points this out. They said that Bianca versus Charlotte never wrestled, but they definitely wrestled in NXT in the run-up to WrestleMania 36.
I'm okay with lies.
That definitely happened.
Suspend your disbelief.
Cool. Suspend your disbelief, Mari.
Sure.
Accurate. I get it. Uncool. Not fun.
But I just have to say, this was a really good match. Like, Bianca and Charlotte had really good chemistry. It did not seem like Charlotte was phoning it in, which she sometimes can do. I thought the match was really, really good. And they keep getting us where Bianca keeps almost winning. And then it just then somebody interferes and she doesn't get the win. And it's just perfect because she's the baby face. She's the one who's chasing. She's the one who the audience, I mean, the audience was very hot on Raw. The man, Becky Lynch, of course, got a really good pop. Charlotte Flair came out and then, and then Bianca got a really good pop. And I just love seeing that Bianca hit her finishing move, which is called the KOD. Charlotte did not take it properly, but whatever. Yeah, she didn't sell it right. Yeah. But she hits her finishing move and she's pinning Charlotte for the win because literally nobody has ever kicked out of the KOD. And then Becky pulls Bianca out of the match, starts beating her up, causes a disqualification. Charlotte pieces out of there. And then all of a sudden, Sasha Banks comes out and starts beating everybody up. So, Shannon, what did you think was going on here? What did you think happened when just Sasha Banks just comes out of nowhere in all her blue gloriousness here?
I didn't see it coming. I didn't understand because, again, this was very much towards the beginning of my clip watching.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are the rules? Anyone can come in. The ring seems more like a guideline than like an actual space. And I understand through watching the clips that that's a bit of a thing. Mm-hmm. And every time they go out of the ring, I'm like, ooh, see, that like hits me. I'm obsessed with the fact like that you know it so well and you know exactly, like obviously you do. And like, this is like what people say with me in Survivor and like all the moves and stuff. But like, you know exactly who, like, oh, the history of every move, how to take moves. See, I love that. I love just watching you work from a casual perspective. But yeah, I didn't see this coming. But
yes.
Becky, yeah, didn't see her winning because she wasn't she wasn't in the match for most of it. So that was
Becky got beat down.
She was like the Chris Underwood of this match.
But essentially, and Sasha Banks was even more of a Chris Underwood running in with her. And by the way, I just want to point out, look, I get her wearing the blue. That's her brand. But I'm just saying, I like people to match the atmosphere. She could have put on like a red shirt.
Sasha's the face of the blue brand. SmackDown made sure she came back to SmackDown. So I'm good with it. But I also, there are rules, Shannon. People loosely follow them. But
yes.
Charlotte and Bianca were in a match. That was a legitimate match. But the minute that Becky Lynch interfered, that's when they call for the bell and there's a disqualification. And then everything after that is just people just
chaos.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Pure chaos.
Pure chaos. Right. Yeah.
But it felt like a lot of them went that way. Like it feels like a lot descended to that chaos.
It does. Happens. It happens a lot in wrestling. And that's why we say there are rules. They just people just don't follow them that much. Matt,
I mean, and I think like this scenario to me was actually not confusing but just strange. So is Sasha a heel?
I do not know.
No, maybe I
don't
know. That's literally the most confusing part of all of this. Who are we supposed to root for exactly? We know we're supposed to root for Bianca. She's a big time face, big time baby face. People love her. Becky supposed to boo her. Charlotte
always boo her.
Question mark. Always boo her. I should pull up that picture again of her getting stomped on by Bianca. But you can go back if you want to see that again. But no, it's a weird dynamic right now with all of them mixing in and
because the crown jewel pay per view.
Yeah, I was gonna say not as smooth as we'd probably like it.
Because of Crown Jewel. So at Crown Jewel, right before the brand split goes into effect, there is going to be a match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. It's going to be Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Sasha Banks, the one who ran in. So it's a triple threat match, and they're fighting for the SmackDown Women's Champion. The kind of weird problem to that is Becky and Bianca were drafted to Raw. Sasha's on SmackDown. The only person in that match who's on SmackDown. So, you know what I'm saying?
Or the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Exactly. But they're also, like, Charlotte, this is, you know, like I said, Charlotte put her, you know, stepped into the, you know, ring and got into this feud. back on SmackDown, and then Charlotte was here on Raw with them kind of feuding. So a lot of people are speculating, will Charlotte be added to that match as well? Because Crown Jewel is in Saudi Arabia. They already have, I think, two women's matches on the book. They normally don't have any women's matches. So they're like, if they are going to put Charlotte in a match at Crown Jewel, they're, people are saying they might shoe her into that one, but it just doesn't make sense unless it's like a, pin the champion for the belt style match. You know what I'm talking about, Matt? They haven't done that.
Weird.
Yeah. They haven't done that since the Attitude Era, but it's like, they've done it once where there's two titles up for grabs in one match before. And it is always so confusing when they do that. That's why they've only done it like once or twice, like ever.
Makes
so I don't know where this is going, and we won't know probably for the next 2 weeks or so. But as it stands right now, Bianca, Sasha, and Becky will be facing each other for the SmackDown Women's Championship. What Charlotte's going to do, I don't know, since Charlotte is the Raw Women's Champion who is actually on SmackDown. I just don't, this makes no sense. One final question before we move on. Shannon, out of those four women, who did you like the most, or who were you compelled by? Who did you want to ask more questions about? What did you think of the women's characters here?
Well, so Sasha's the one who won.
Yeah, well, she's the one who came in and stood tall. Won,
yeah. She, mm-hmm. So she's the Chris Underwood. I mean, I like a winner. Well, you know, so I'm not going to back one of the losers. She was interesting. She was, I thought.
Yeah.
So yeah. Because when you guys are saying, like, obviously you're meant to root for this person, I'm like, I feel like I wasn't getting that. So I don't know exactly who we're meant to root for. So.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Well, this usually in wrestling, like, it's pretty clear because the fans will guide you and the announcers will guide you. In this, it was very messy and confusing. So usually it's like, ooh, this person's clearly the heel. Ooh, this person's clearly the babyface. I think the crowd was confused. I think the announcers were confused.
And I think I just was wrong. Don't put it on them.
No,
no, it's no. Like he said, it is very confusing. It's a very confusing dynamic. If I were to put a label on it, Bianca Belair is... she's literally the baby face, the white meat baby face, if you will. She is the pure baby face in there. Then,
and baby face is,
it's the same as a face. It's the good guy.
The good guy. Yes.
Yeah. Correct. But when you say baby face, we're talking like squeaky clean, like
in wrestling.
Oh yeah. In wrestling, like all American. Yeah.
You're good.
They do not break the rules style face. There are some people who are faces who can, you know, be a little like have an attitude, you know, but like, She's edge. Definitely a baby face. Yeah, a little bit of an edge.
Yeah,
I get you.
But her antagonist is Becky Lynch, the man Becky Lynch. They've been fighting for the title for the past like month or so. However, Becky Lynch is not a heel or a face. She's more like a tweener. Like, she's definitely a bad guy. She does bad guy moves. Yeah, she does bad guy moves, but the audience likes her. So, and she can basically be the protagonist in the storyline or an antagonist in the storyline. So she's a tweener. And then Sasha Banks is definitely a heel, which is why she came in at the end there. She is the antagonist to Becky Lynch as of right now. So that's why it's kind of like a flow chart.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I see. Is it more fun to be a heel or a face? Like face, you get the love, but heel, I don't know. I guess it's like being a hero and a villain in Survivor, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good to. Yes, it's exactly always more like fun that. To be a bad boy, you know. Like, to
but I assume people get like, considering like actors will get hate for what their characters do on like fictional television shows. Like, surely these people get hate for being heels because there's that sense of realism anyway.
Yeah, you know, just like any fan base. Just like any fan base can be annoying.
Yeah.
There's like that, you know, people who really take things way too seriously.
But at times too, like in wrestling, and I can't think of the most recent time in modern wrestling that this has happened, but like there have been times where the fans have thrown trash into the ring, or you'll once in a while. Oh my God. Well, okay. Once in a while, we'll see a fan run into the ring and
just happened.
Yeah, so these are things that literally do happen where people take it a little bit too far when they're not they're like too bought into what's suspending disbelief too much. Don't do that. They're not able to, some people aren't able to separate, you know, the reality from the fiction of it all, of course.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Look, I would criticize that, but again, like, I was really heartbroken to find out that woman wasn't actually married. So I understand. It's like, it's a hard thing because it's not as binary as the other things. Reality TV, real. It's in the name, you know, like scripted television, clearly they're actors playing characters, yeah. Whereas like this is
kind it of blurs both.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's, it's confusing. So, but I mean, I wouldn't run into a ring. That just seems like a bad idea. You might get hit by a chair.
Yeah. No, what? That's what it happened like 2 months ago when that guy ran in on the MJF Jericho contract signing.
Yeah,
and he legit got decked and taken out.
Yeah, stay out of the ring.
Send me that too.
And then on
got a bunch of requests.
Write that down. Right. Yeah. And then at an independent wrestling show, a GCW show just a few months ago, Matt Cardona won the championship and then people threw trash at him. Former Zack Ryder, that just happened. And he was like bleeding. But but in a good way.
He
liked it. He liked it. He was bragging about it. So,
you know, that just from like an outside perspective, like
it's your weird.
World just, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
No,
so you know.
I get it.
I kind of feel like you're our therapist and we're just telling you about our lives and you're okay.
You're too invested in the trash throwing media.
We're too deep into this.
I don't like that. I'm just saying I'm not, but.
Yeah, I can be that person for you. It's just an objective eye to be like, guys, maybe step away for a little bit. Take it deep because it can be a lot. I get it. It's the same thing with Survivor and me. Believe me, the therapy thing is too real. It's like you need to step outside of that for a second. Like
for 2 seconds.
It's a lot and it's a little weird. It feels normal to you because it's your whole life, but
it does feel like an intervention.
Speaking of which, something that's a little out there and a little much.
No.
Yeah, we got Goldberg and Bobby Lashley here. So Goldberg comes out. He talks about how he wants to cause serious pain to Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley comes out and makes it a no holds bar match, which I was just like, it was a really big eye roll to me because why would Bobby Lashley want to make it a no holds bar match? But then, you know, as I'm thinking about it, like he wants it to be a no holds bar match with Shannon. That means like basically no rules. They can use all the
weapons.
Yeah,
he was like, I'm going to kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was like, what?
Exactly.
No, not murder.
Jesus.
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah, not murder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just half expecting Mario to be like, that just happened.
Right.
So right. Funny you should say that. I'll send you the clip. Like, no.
I mean, there is the one. No.
No. But yeah, exactly. And so I guess they're trying to say Bobby made it a no holds bar because he can utilize the Hurt Business because Goldberg was like, thank you. It's a license to kill and you're next. And I'm going to make you pay for my son. The only thing that I want to point out about this feud really is that I'm glad that they took the championship off of Bobby before they went into this feud that this is not for the championship. I appreciate that. I'm glad Goldberg is not about to win the title because make no mistake, Goldberg is about to beat Bobby Lashley because they've set it all up. Because Bobby Lashley, quote unquote, accidentally put his hands on Goldberg's 15-year-old son. Accidentally. And
he didn't hit his son with a chair too.
He just
had a lot of questions.
Shannon, I don't want to break the news to you, but Bobby Lashley did choke Goldberg's son.
But his real son though, or a fake
his
son?
Not real choking.
There we go.
Okay.
It was wrestling choking.
Yeah. Okay.
Is his son a wrestler?
No.
Oh, well, that feels like it's...
He's only in the 10th grade or something.
I don't know how young his son's.
Too young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot. Okay. So I understand the death threats in the
movie. There you go. Yeah. See?
That's
there
fine.
You go.
No, it's not.
It's not fine at all. It's not. But at least...
This was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
From every angle, this was a lot.
But then you saw, like, I think Cedric Alexander was the one that jumped on Goldberg's back. And that's what he was demonstrating, because that's what happened. Goldberg's son jumped on Bobby Lashley's back. And, yeah, there you go.
Two sides to every story.
Yeah. And then so Bobby Lashley just took him and put him into his Hurt Lock, which is like a choke thing. And he choked him out a little bit. And he's like, oh, wait, I didn't know that was your son. Somebody just attacked me from the back.
Right.
So, you know, and so that was the excuse. That's the excuse. That's Bobby's excuse. And
everyone sucks here. That's what I think.
Everyone sucks. And we're against violence. And the other thing I'll say is we're also less against the retribution that Goldberg has dealt out in vengeance. I hope his son's okay in the storyline. I mean, that was like a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago, Mari. So,
it was a minute ago. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But
we did see Bill Goldberg just lay out the Hurt Business, aka Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. So he's on a tear. I will point out Bill Goldberg. I'm not gonna dox his exact age, but I'm sure they've talked about it. He is like 50 something against these. So impressive. Yeah. I want to be like him when I'm 50 something. Just as much. I mean, maybe not. But like the muscle, the strength.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Goldberg, we're getting more Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. And like I said, it's because it's in Saudi Arabia, they love those old school wrestlers. And Goldberg like always wins when he goes there. So that's why it's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
So what is like the age range of wrestlers?
Girl.
we wish it was a little bit more tightened in.
Well, it's good that there's no like age discrimination.
I guess I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, the good news is like there aren't like older wrestlers just magically getting injured more. You know, like Goldberg doesn't do a lot. He doesn't wrestle a lot. And Mari, I know you've talked about this in the past. I think even last week with Sarah Carradine, but like, especially in a non-pandemic world, like wrestlers are basically constantly on tour. They're on the road like 300, at least 300 days a year, definitely upwards of 250 days a year. Like they are constantly in motion, or like, you know how it is. Even if you like go somewhere and you're like, oh, well, in 5 days I have to go somewhere else. Like that's a lot, but they don't even have that much of a break. And so they are doing a lot. They're wrestling so many matches in a year. With someone like Bill Goldberg, he's wrestling like a few matches in a year. So it's not as tough on his body, and he doesn't need to even wrestle very physical matches, just because his thing is always, I'm strong, I'm dominant, I'm a monster. He has
I'll beat you in 50 very seconds. Short
match. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's I could see how they make it work for someone like him and how he can have long longevity, as opposed to like someone else who's 50 who's gonna have like very intense matches. We don't see that too often.
Right. You know? And like, well, and Ric Flair wrestled till he was like 82 or something like that.
I think he's like 75 now.
Whatever.
He's not 75.
Currently, like, 75. Chris Jericho is 50 something wrestling regularly. So it really just depends on how they stay in shape. And you know, so it really is like you can be wrestling for as long as you want to if you're at the top of the card. If you sell tickets and you make money, you know, they'll bring, like we said, Goldberg was big back in the early 2000s, and you know, they still keep bringing him back to get that like nostalgia type of money. So that's what you see a lot of. You'll see the old people coming back for nostalgia's sake.
Not the old people.
The old people.
Oh, my
God. The youngest ago?
The youngest? We'll actually talk about the youngest wrestler on the WWE roster in NXT 2.0. Yeah. Corey Jade is 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Usually they're at least adults. Well, actually. There are some cameos from like wrestlers' kids who are younger than 18, but they're not being, they're not wrestling matches as far as I remember at all. So that's good.
Yeah. And so next up, the Hurt Business also ended up in an actual match versus the New Day. And the only reason why I'm including this was because Xavier Woods finished out the match. He pinned, I think it was Cedric Alexander, but he also yelled at the camera. He was like, crown me, because Xavier Woods, his lifelong dream, he's been a wrestling fan his whole entire life, and he wants to be, this is a picture. That's Xavier Woods in the front there. That's Kofi in the back, Kofi Kingston in the back. They're the New Day. Xavier Woods wants to be the King of the Ring. He's always, his main passion is always to be the King of the Ring. And the King of the Ring tournament is starting this week. And he's putting in his bid that he wants to win the King of the Ring tournament. And he was very passionate. I loved all of this.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, the Street Profits also came out to celebrate, because the Street Profits got drafted to Raw. The New Day are going to SmackDown, so they won't be on the same brand, but they're like they're cordial together. So it was like a little face versus face. This is what you would call a rub, Shannon. Like the both of these teams are insanely over. Like the New Day is really, really over. Like when you say over, people like them. Like they get reactions. Yeah. They're both very popular. So this was just kind of we're all good guys. We're like congratulating each other. We're getting a rub and we're popping the crowd. Popping the crowd means the crowd's going wild. And
language.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You guys are my teacher and my dictionary. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like when you're listening to yourself and you're like, this, we need to make sure we explain all of this.
I love it. We're talking about something
completely different.
You have like a glossary of terms that are like, it's not just heel, which is one I knew.
And I just also want to give a brief shout out to the guy who held up the agenda sign right in the middle between the New Day and Street Profits. And it is it's an inside joke between like Black Wrestling Twitter. So big ups to him.
I literally didn't.
Really funny. See the sign. And probably the intern on WWE didn't either, because it's still there in the video. So, and then, like I said, we go straight into Big E. Big E is the WWE champion, and he is a part of the New Day. Unfortunately, during the draft, the New Day, like Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, are going to SmackDown, while Big E will stay on Raw because he's the champion and he was drafted to Raw. So Big E calls out Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre comes out with a huge sword. Shannon, I know you had been like, why does this man have a sword? Like, why is he holding a sword?
Yeah, that was basically it. I liked it. You can tell that I would be like, all right. No, at that point, I was pretty accepting. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Good to know.
When you're like, okay, it's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he comes out because he had issued a challenge to Big E. I think it was last week or something like that for the championship. So I think what we're going to get is Big E versus Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel for the WWE championship match. But again, it makes no sense because Drew McIntyre is on SmackDown. The WWE Championship belt is for Raw. So I don't even know. I don't. Whatever.
Details, Mari. Details. These are details that this, Shannon, we couldn't have any other newcomer to wrestling on this podcast, because there is like literally we need that like little red string and some thumbtacks just to piece everything together, because
it feels like this whole draft was a mess based on everything you're saying.
Yes.
I don't even understand the drafting process or anything about it, but
you know,
from
what?
Your
actually,
frustrations,
yeah,
yeah, because it doesn't make sense, because like the draft is great in theory, but when you say okay, but it doesn't take effect until two more weeks, but also we're gonna have matches on the line that will determine major championships that are brand based, but then they're between people who are on different brands, it just doesn't make sense sometimes.
Well, I think I see the problem is that, because like we have a draft like an AFL, but it's in the off season, so
yeah,
makes sense that, and then the trade period and stuff is all around in the off season, and you start a new season, on you go. But it feels like wrestling doesn't have an off season.
There is no off season. No. Yeah, pray for
so,
us.
So you just do it. Yeah, no, is it like it's like the whole year?
Literally,
is it every day of the whole year?
Basically,
what?
Yeah,
like probably like four to five. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a lot.
So WWE,
I thought Australian Survivor was a lot, but every day of the whole year.
It's so
now WWE, you know how we feel.
Monday Night Raw. So there's Monday Night Raw. On Tuesday, NXT comes on, and then on Friday is SmackDown. So Monday, Tuesday, and Friday for WWE. But that does not include their live events. They also do live events throughout the week. So on which are non-televised
too. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they do non-televised, so they're constantly traveling. And then on top of that, you have AEW, which comes on Wednesdays. So that's at least Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday.
And then also Friday.
And then if you watch Impact Wrestling is on Thursdays. And then there's just so many other smaller wrestling promotions.
Yeah. And the whole year?
Yeah.
The whole year. Yeah.
They literally all, not a single week off.
That is ridiculous. Like, who could? No wonder you didn't watch Young Rock. You don't have time.
Thank you, Shannon. That's what we're trying.
Yes. Okay, I don't know that every day of like the whole year, like intervention.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because every other medium, every sport, every show, everything takes a break. I literally can't think of another thing right now that never, ever takes a break.
Put us in our place.
No, I feel bad for you because that's way too much of a commitment. And like, I understand that, like, as people who are passionate, obsessed with it, like, you wouldn't want to miss anything. So it just, you were beholden to it.
We can't miss anything. We can't handle it.
I can't with that.
My thought process is we're just podcasting about it. You know what I'm saying? I just feel so bad for the wrestlers who are living it. My back hurts watching this sometimes.
Yeah.
And they don't take a break?
No, very rarely.
The ones,
they work hard. The
majority of them do not take a break.
Yeah, if you're like a big star, like if you're top of the card, like if you are the main eventer, you don't take a break. And you don't really want to because you get paid to be there. You get paid, you know, to be there. Mm. So it's a lot. Yeah. And that's why I do feel bad for the wrestlers because they should get a downtime because, that grueling schedule, if it leads to an injury, then they're forced to take a downtime because they're injured, you know? It's a lot. Wow. And it's just a lot that they put their bodies through. And that is one of the main reasons why people don't like it being called fake, mostly because like what they're doing is real stuff. Mm. It's real, even if it's choreographed, even if it's predetermined.
Yeah, no, super physical.
Yeah, they're out there doing this real athletic stuff.
Yeah.
Facing injuries and, you know, it's just a lot. So that's the biggest thing of what we like about wrestling. We respect the art. We respect the people and we love the characters, you know?
Shannon, has anyone ever told you that you would be the perfect person? Like, I don't know if this is a job, but like a cult interventionalist where you would be great because you could really help detach people from their cults. Like, I think
I don't know who sent you here, but we see you. Only because I see the signs because I know it because I too am in a cult that is Survivor, of which you guys know a lot about.
I mean,
I'm loving it because I also feel like I have now so many fun facts to take to the world. Like, I'm just going to go to everyone I know and be like, you know that wrestling never takes a break ever? Are we aware of this? I'm going to say the first thing, my husband's going to walk in the door tonight after work. I'm going to be like, kids, this ridiculous thing and this other thing
and he
wasn't married to that guy but it was his actual son. Keep up your Peter, that's what I'm just gonna be like tonight.
I'm glad we can give you like random like facts like
that is madness. That is like that they never take a break. Anyway, you need to move on, but I'm just gonna sit with that.
We're sticking with it too emotionally. We're thinking about it. So Mari, what
Biggie and Drew were accepting their challenge. And then all of a sudden, Dolph Ziggler comes out And the reason why Dolph Ziggler comes out here is because Dolph Ziggler says that they should be thanking him because he is the reason they are big stars. The reason he's saying that is when Big E premiered on the roster. When Big E premiered on the roster, he was like Dolph Ziggler's muscle. And that was
almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While Drew McIntyre did re-debut. Yeah, 4 years ago, re-debuted as Dolph Ziggler's back bodyguard muscle. So both of them used to bodyguard Dolph Ziggler, but now they're both, Big E is the current champion, Drew is a former champion. And I mean, the only thing I didn't really like here was the kind of like the size comment, like the kind of size thing that Drew kind of compared himself to Bobby Roode or whatever. With a little of the size. But anyways, then we ended up getting a match between Big E and Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. And this was honestly just basically a squash match where Drew and Big E won handedly. And then not only did they win, but after the match, they decided that they were kind of like one-upping each other by inflicting more violence on Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. So, I mean, this is nothing. This is a nothing burger. All it is to further the storyline of Big E versus Drew. But they technically, that is a face versus face match. Those are supposed to be two good guys. So whenever you have a face versus face match, they have to insert some random heels in order for them to like conquer,
add some real tension and like insert the villains there. But it is interesting when you have like the two. Well, actually, it's typically not as interesting when you have like the two faces up against each other. Like everyone loves a good hero versus villain story, and you referenced heroes versus villains earlier, Shannon, thinking of Survivor. But like, that's what people love, those like very traditional archetypes. And between this with Big E and Drew McIntyre, and then what we were talking about with the New Day and them giving the rub to the Street Profits, we need some more heels, we need some more tension, some more viciousness, ruthless aggression. Right, Mark?
Intervention. Yeah.
Intervention.
So that's what we got there. Whatever.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So the next and final thing about Raw, because Raw was okay, but I really want to get to NXT 2.0 because I think NXT 2.0 is so good. And I definitely want to spend some time on that. But we also got Shayna Baszler versus Dana Brooke. And Shayna Baszler has been on this run where she's been injuring women by like stomping on their arms. But before she could do that to Dana Brooke, Doudrop came out and saved Dana Brooke, and then they had this weird stare down after Shayna Baszler like hit her. And I just don't know where this is going, other than my only guess is at some point they might see each other in the Queen's Crown tournament, or I don't know if they're building a storyline for Doudrop, who is a face at this point, against Shayna, who is becoming like an uber heel. But also just to point out the commentary, like Corey really was like digging into Dana Brooke saying like she can't wrestle. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's something you should put on commentary, because even if your announcers are supposed to, they're supposed to be lifting you up in some form of way, or even if in storyline, you're going to say like, it was just weird. It was just weird and off-putting, right, Matt? Because like he was just talking about how bad she wrestles.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I think the biggest thing I would say is just like, part of the role of the commentators on these shows is just to highlight the things that are working, like hide the things that don't work as well. Exactly. And so that's the big thing I would say is that, like, don't point out the people's legit weaknesses, like how they haven't really been great in the ring, for example, and other things. So that wasn't great, but I did like this dynamic of Doudrop, ironically, Doudrop did not drop when Shayna Baszler tried to come for her, and we had that stare down. I like this. The heel face story that's kind of building. No clue where it's going, but it's cool that we're kind of seeing it here, right?
Yeah. No protection for Dana Brooke on commentary. Any thoughts about this, Shannon? About this clip?
Yeah, a lot of them. The arm thing, I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
It was really unpleasant. And like, as I said, I don't know who's meant to be good and bad. I got this one. Like, you're meant to hate Shayna. Like, I would throw garbage at her. Yeah. What was she doing to that woman's arm? I was like really happy that she got saved. Because I was like, oh my God, help. Help this woman. So,
Shayna's been building up her bad guy persona.
She's unlikable.
The first time she did it, she was kind of apprehensive, right?
Seemed a little bit, she had some regrets after. And then she did it again just the other week to, Natalie Eva Marie, who was on Celebrity Big Brother, and who, Eva Marie, who is kind of more like I like to think of it, there's probably a name for this in horror movies, but just like the woman who's like really pretty and runs, like that's Eva Marie's character. And so she got stomped. She's trying to stomp her arm and break her arm in.
I didn't like it
in the story.
Storyline.
Shayna Baszler is not cool.
She's not a face. Yeah. No. I can tell you that. My extremely limited wrestling knowledge was like.
I don't think you want to call her out. I don't think you want to call her out, Shannon.
Yes, and I like how
come from my arm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in Australia.
I like how they pointed out she is.
Really. But I want it.
She is legitimately a MMA fighter, and she like legitimately can do these things. So,
oh my gosh,
I like Shayna, but
that's just wow. Me. They want you to hate her. Like that's how I feel.
Yes, they do. They
even
do.
With her whole outfit and like the makeup and it was. She was like one of the most obvious villains. In like, because everyone's yelling at each other and fighting each other, so for me it's a little bit hard to be like, which one of you was the good guys? But she was a bad guy. I got that part.
Awesome. But that means that they're doing something right. Like
something when right, exactly.
And that's actually the thing. Like with wrestling, when it's going really well, it is so clear. And WWE really tries to make it super clear because they're a product that's more for like new wrestling fan or young wrestling casual fans, for kids, a lot of kids. And so it's good when it's obvious, because then it's not like a ton of processing, like what's going on, I need the backstory. Raw was a little bit confusing in that sense this week.
Exactly.
No, it was true, like in terms of like a casual perspective, it was like a very clear narrative to me, like bad guy tries to stomp good guy's arm. And then that person gets saved. I was like riding that wave.
I was actually surprised she got saved, because again, for these past few weeks, people have just been letting it happen. So again, I don't know if this is just leading to Shayna versus Doudrop, or if this is like maybe leading to something with Doudrop and Dana Brooke, but I don't know.
Something is coming.
Something is coming.
But a Doudrop versus Shayna could be like a really good match, because
I want to see it.
Yeah, they're both very good wrestlers. Doudrop is a she's in NXT UK wrestler, a longtime independent wrestler, Piper Nevin. So that they're both well seasoned. So that could be a really, really good match, depending. Mm-hmm. right, that's it for the highlights of the week for Raw. All of the highlights can be found in a playlist in the either YouTube description or the podcast description. So let's move on to NXT. So NXT 2.0. Right. Holy, we have to talk. We have to talk. The one thing that set the internet ablaze was Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo made his in-ring debut. And I mean, I can't even explain to you guys like the reception that he is getting on Twitter. The reception that he is getting on Twitter is bananas. Like, Twitter loved him before he even made his debut, because he, on the past few weeks, he's had Vignettes, like little promo packages of him. He's like very Italian. He has a very Sopranos-esque character, and he talks about his family and the business and being by the docks with his accent. And he got over so much on Twitter, and you could see the crowd. The crowd absolutely loved him, and this was just his first in-ring debut. Matt, you look like you want to say something there.
No, I mean, look, I don't know. There's a lot there. His character is great. I also just sort of feel like I'm not that impressed by his character.
Oh my gosh.
Because I know so. Okay, look, I'm just saying,
I
grew up with a lot of people like him in New Jersey,
it's triggering.
Close to home. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, I don't know. Been there, done that, put something on other than, you know, but like, we're not, like, either take off the shirt. Or, like, we're an actual shirt. Like, we don't need the world, like, you know, tank top type of situation.
But people love familiar tropes, right?
So that they do. Sense.
People get it.
It's easy. It's good for storytelling.
And this is, for all intents and purposes, like, this is him, you know? Like, we always have a saying, like, the best characters are yourself turned up to, like, 11. And he truly does come from, like, a big Italian family, all of that. And it's just played up.
Well, that's good.
Degree.
I mean, because if he wasn't Italian at all, this would be pretty offensive.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, it's so funny, because on Twitter, like, the emoji, like the hands emoji, like this, like,
yeah, they keep doing the hands.
They keep doing that, and they flood
the emoji
with those hands. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess
so. I've never used that emoji.
Yeah,
I didn't know it exists. I'm learning so much about things I didn't think I'd learn about.
They love him, and he used it, and everybody like is using it. He was trending on Twitter like hours after the show. You should have saw the crowd in the background. The crowd was like this in the background.
Who told them to do that?
I mean, he does it. He did it. He did it in the match. And
did he say like Mamma Mia?
No, I don't.
Where is my pizza? No.
That stereotypical, but
saying like gabagool. Like,
he's from Chicago, right?
He's from Chicago.
Some good deep dish.
Yeah, and every time it happens, I'm like, this is fun. I like this, but is this problematic? Like, and I'm like, I don't think it is. I don't think it is, because he is okay with it.
And I love that, though.
And it's getting over. So I'm like, I don't think it's that bad.
No, it's not problem. I don't think it's problematic. Like, I think one thing, I'm like, how do I become like the Italian American spokesperson? Right. But, like, I'll say, like, from like where I grew up, like, there's a lot of pride in where you come from, but you know, I have a lot of friends who are Italian American and have a lot of pride in like even their roots or what the culture is, because it's such a specific culture. And like when we all really were growing up, but like when I was growing up in New Jersey, The Sopranos was a thing, and people, I mean, let me tell you, that stuff, it's real. It's real. I don't want to say too much. I like my kneecaps too much. But yeah, I think it's cool that he's able to embrace that. And we have seen different versions of like this type of character, but I don't think we've ever seen a character that's like, I am actually, we have seen like a group that was called the Full-Blooded Italians.
Yeah.
20 years ago ish. Mm-hmm. But they were also like very stereotypical. Yeah, and they weren't even actually Italian.
Yes, exactly.
They were not. So
this
that's
is why
bigger...
this one feels all authentic, more authentic.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, that's yeah. so cool.
Is. Shannon, how did you, what did you think?
Huh? I don't know. I mean, I love all of this. Like, I was going to ask, like, because I was like, I'm surprised this is new or hasn't come up before, but you're saying that it has. But there might be a little bit more of authenticity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much of that is hilarious to me. I don't know what to do with it. Because, like, yeah, where is the line on that? That, like, cultural stereotype becoming a character. A lot of that wouldn't be okay. But I think we might be on, we might be in the zone that's fine, mm-hmm. but a yeah. lot of the time I feel we would not be.
To be quite honest, like normally the characters themselves stay on that line, like so, like until they aren't. Time. Yeah,
well, exactly. That could go really badly.
Like, yeah.
Well, I think it's always the type of thing where it's like the character is on the line at the time of when the character's happening, but like in 5 years we might be like, oh, not cute, we'll not true. Let's not
yeah.
do that.
Yeah,
but that's like always what wrestling sometimes yeah. wrestling goes over the line to yeah. dangerous, really dangerous territory, but
yeah,
you know, I think this is an example where it's like this okay. where we find ourselves like, is this offensive?
this is our podcast. Half of it is explaining
is this offensive?
The other half is this offensive? Yeah,
I love that. You should make a jingle. You should make a jingle for that game. Yeah,
is this offensive.
Yeah, you should have
Welcome
like a
America.
Drop.
Yeah.
You should have a drop for when is this offensive, because that is great.
That'd be good. Yeah,
yeah.
We've talked about, and it's kind of funny that it's always NXT where we're asking this question. Like, is this offensive? We're gonna ask it
Let
three
us know
more
in the
times
comments.
Before
yeah.
this is done
this
in
offensive?
This section here. So, but I really liked it. He's getting over. I had to include. I sent you guys a Twitter. Of a video, because we didn't get to see his full entrance. His entrance was so funny. He just like came out and he's like, hey, like that's what he said. but then he tries to bribe the ref. He legit tried to bribe the ref on the
look. I don't know about that. I've never so I can I me. Can confirm I've never seen briberies. I've never okay. experienced yeah. them. I haven't been bribed by anybody, and that's the
really is a therapy session. Yes.
Yeah.
And then yeah. it's like, and again, like he hasn't said like sleep with the fishes. He hasn't
yes.
like
that's good.
Sent
Don't
goons
do that.
On
no.
anybody. Like it's always that. It's always like this is okay. It reminds me like of Akira Tozawa when it was like Akira Tozawa I think it's a famous he's a Japanese wrestler, and yeah. then it was all good, and then all of a sudden he had ninjas, and I was like, what is
don't do that. Yeah.
Yes.
I love that. I love the idea of like it's okay, and then you're like, but don't do that.
Yes. Yeah. We've talked about here Apollo. I didn't get to send
you
a clip of him.
He
is of Nigerian descent, and he showed up on SmackDown one day, all of a sudden, in all of his Nigerian flag and stuff, and with an accent. And
he
it
didn't
was just
have
like,
an accent.
He did not
that.
Have an accent, and he's from
Sacramento, California.
California, yeah.
He did, yeah.
Is this offensive?
Yes,
probably. Not offensive enough for them to not do it. Is yeah, like yeah. the that's He's the stupid. And that's the beautiful thing about the tricky thing about wrestling. The beautiful thing though is that they have been like largely responsive to the ways that culture has changed over yeah. time, which is yeah. like one of the cool things about being a wrestling fan, where they're like, there wasn't any diversity. There was a ton of problematic stuff from so many different angles, and it gets yeah. better, but it's like, it is far from perfect. And with NXT 2.0, they are trying to be edgier. So mm-hmm. where there's a lot of that line. Yeah. And I think they definitely crossed yeah. that line a bit, but.
Here? With Tony D'Angelo?
Not with Tony D'Angelo.
Oh, okay. You're just saying, okay.
In general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and after his really good, I should mention, his in-ring debut was really, really good. Like, I thought this was going to be kind of like a straight up squash match, but they actually gave this time. I think they got at least like 5 to 6 minutes, and it was really good. His in-ring skill is pretty, it's pretty already there for a rookie in comparison to some of the other talents we've seen so far.
I would not have said all of that.
Okay.
But I see what you see. Especially compared with the other talents that we've seen, because this is like Shannon, NXT 2.0, to call it by its official name. It is a developmental brand or territory. So there are a lot of people who are brand new, who are just kind of feeling their way through things. And that's what we're getting. But this was good compared with like a lot of the other matches we might see in NXT, where they're really still figuring out how to be wrestlers, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. For a rookie, it was pretty good. His finisher is pretty cool too. It was a suplex. Yeah, it was a suplex into a swinging neck breaker, a fisherman's neck breaker. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And so he went on to Lash Legend, who has her own Wendy Williams style talk show, was holding court in an area there, and he came on there and he like kind of invited himself onto her show. And I mean, again, if wrestling Twitter went crazy, they're like Lash Legend and Tony D'Angelo in the same segment. Sign me up.
They need to calm down.
Love both of them, Matt. You are just not, you got no. Catch up.
They're lovable.
Catch up, Matt.
They're likable, but they just got here.
And they connected that quickly.
They barely even go here.
They connected that quickly. The audience loves them.
I guess they're
deal
cute.
With it.
So when will we see that play out? Like, I saw him invite himself on the show, and then the show, I didn't get the show.
It's going to be next week. Next week.
Mm-hmm. Everything's always next week.
Matt, like, write that down. Okay. Send it to Shannon. Send it to me.
Put it on the list. We want Jenna Raska.
Yeah, Jenna Raska. The guy who ran in and got choked out by
the non-wrestler.
I'm writing these all down and then I'm crossing them all out just so send these. I know.
So
you
and I mean that a good response. So I can't wait to see them on that, and it's going to be great because this will be like his first. If we see that, it should be kind of like a more of a live promo, because again, he was doing like recorded vignettes, and then but I think her show is also recorded too, but it'll be more conversational. So it'll be good to see how they interact more. And they had a lot of chemistry just in that clip too. So I'm excited for that. Next up, we had a lot of great promos and video packages I definitely wanted to highlight here.
Yeah.
And again, talking about like stepping on that line a little bit, we first got Santos Escobar and Legado del Fantasma, also known as La Familia. We're talking about how they are coming for the North American title. Electra Lopez was still talking about how she beat B-Fab last week in their match. And I'm assuming that, I don't know if it's at the Halloween Havoc. Is it Halloween Havoc? Okay. So at Halloween Havoc, Santos Escobar is going to go up against Isaiah Swerve Scott for the North American title. The thing is here, though, yes, this is a picture of Legado del Fantasma. I love saying their name. Very cool faction. Electra Lopez, really good for a rookie. In the background, Santos Escobar facing Isaiah Swerve Scott of Hit Row, who also popped up here. Hit Row got drafted to SmackDown, so they're no longer on NXT. Again,
doesn't make any sense.
So more than likely, he's going to drop that title to Santos Escobar, which is fine. Because Legado will stay down in NXT and they'll run NXT while Hit Row is up on SmackDown. But the funniest thing about this feud, Matt, you're gonna say something?
I just a general thought of like, why what, just make the draft happen. Like, we don't need to wait to have these things materialize. Like, we don't need to wait a couple weeks. Just make it happen. But I don't want to distract from Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah. Yeah. So they had, they've been feuding for like months now. Like, the factions have been feuding for months now. And talk about towing a line, because these are two groups that are obviously very deep rooted in their culture. And some of their storyline has revolved around like them towing the line on disrespecting each other's cultures. Like Legado del Fantasma had brought a mariachi band to the ring and said, this is real music, not what Hit Row does. Hit Row, because Hit Row, they're rappers, like three-fourths of them are like rappers. They put out music. And so that's what their persona is. This is very much like a rap group. And then you might be staring at it as a newcomer, like, again, are we leaning into
this?
Is
this offensive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen to our podcast to find out.
Yeah. And then at one point, Legado had stole Isaiah Swerve Scott has a grill, and they had ripped his grill out of his mouth and like burnt it, put it in a fire.
What? Where was the fire?
In the back of a truck, yo.
Yeah, no, it was in the back of the
truck. It was in the back of the truck.
What?
Because this is what
happened. Send me the clip.
Send her the clip.
The fire truck.
Yeah.
Fire truck grill.
I'm going to look back at these notes one day and be like, what?
Jenna
Maraska? Yeah. Fire truck.
So this will be the culmination of the storyline. And if they do it right, Hit Row will lose so that they can give the rub to Legado while they move up to the main roster. But this has been a really, I've enjoyed the ride, to be quite honest. It's towed the line, but nothing too offensive. Yes, Matt.
I don't think it's like towed. Well, in comparison to other things, like, I don't know if it's really on that line.
It's not bad at all.
Okay. We could go on to why it's not towing the lines, but yeah, there's, we have bigger fish to fry in wrestling.
Yeah. What did you think of these two groups just kind of like talking at each other?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really understand where it fit into the whole kind of pantheon of what I was watching, but I could tell like that this was some clear battle that we're facing off. I don't really and groups, like, how do they form? Like, what is?
Yeah. So there are factions in wrestling, right? And sometimes it happens all type of ways. So for Legado del Fantasma, when they debuted, they debuted as a group. Like, Santos Escobar has always been the head of the group. And then I forget the other two people's names. I'm so sorry to them men, but like, it's escaping my mind, but they've always been a faction. And then when they started like beefing with Hit Row has always had a girl. So they pulled in Electra Lopez to kind of be that foil to be Fab. Hit Row, same thing. Isaiah Swerve Scott, he was, you know, by himself.
No relation.
Sorry. he turned into a bad guy. And then the next week he brought on like the rest of Hit Row, like Ashanti the Adontis, Top Dollar is the big one. And then B-Fab. They've always, factions kind of just, they get together because more than likely they're trying to protect the leader. The leader will have the championship like Isaiah Swerve Scott does, and the faction will help him retain it. They'll help them retain the championship. Okay. Like kind of what we saw with the Hurt Business with, you know, Bobby Lashley and stuff like that. The factions always get together because they want to protect whoever has the championship. They want to win more championships, and it's better numbers.
Okay.
So, faction
that makes
wars.
A little more sense to me now.
Faction wars. Exactly. And then we also got, speaking of another faction, again, great promos. We got the Diamond Mine promo here, which was just so it's so funny and so hilarious because Malcolm Bivens is just amazing at what he does. Again, WWE, the art of the manager is so lost sometimes nowadays. Like, I love managers when it comes to WWE, and Malcolm Bivens is like legit the best manager out there. And I would have never guessed that the faction, this would be more of a stable, if you will, same type of deal, multiple people working together. But I like to call it a stable because stables are often manager led to me, I would say. Yeah, and factions. That's my personal thought. But
yeah, I've never thought about
it like that. Right?
But that mm-hmm. I'm not. I agree. I mean, yeah. I don't disagree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so
what Malcolm, endorsement.
This promo package had Malcolm Bivens introducing the members of Diamond Mine, which is basically kind of just a CrossFit group. Like, they're the annoying people okay. who talk about CrossFit. Like,
look, Mari, we're gonna get canceled.
It's an important culture, you know. Yeah. Like, all the cultures respect we've had. This is its own very important group for sure.
They are very CrossFit though.
Yeah, it is. It's just like there's like a CrossFit gym group that wants you to join. I don't know. Like,
honestly,
that is hilarious.
The only person who like truly looks like they do CrossFit is Ivy Nile. With her jacked, huge muscles. I don't know if she's friends with The Rock, but you want to see her wrestle?
Yeah, she hasn't made her debut yet.
Has she ever wrestled before?
I don't think so. I think he said in the package that she comes from an MMA background. Something like that.
In the package, he referred to her as
a
Diamond Mine's Tenderoni.
Tenderoni. Oh,
which made me think of, do you know who that made me think of from the challenge? Nehemiah.
Oh, Nehemiah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when he called her a tenderoni, that took me out. I was like, Malcolm, like, are you? that's why I liked about the promo package, because it was like supposed to be so serious, you know, but then he was also just being so like goofy with it. It was really, really funny to me, talking about the coach and then Ivy. It was a lot. Like, we didn't know that much about the coach guy, about him, like, you know, Hachiman, being from all parts of Japan.
Yeah.
What are the two guys in the back's name?
Julius and Brutus.
Julius and Brutus. Yes. I was like, okay, give them
that is fake, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely fake.
I hope so.
But they're wrestlers. They're back.
Oh, wait, not fake. That's their scripted name. Right.
He's scripted name. It's fine. It's fake name. It's fine. Because in NXT 2.0, you're going to hear all of like most of these names are pseudonyms, and you can tell just from the sound of them, to be quite honest.
Because that would be crazy if that was their real names.
Yes.
And that would fit ridiculously
Julius
well.
And Brutus.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if they're brothers, maybe. I don't know if they're related.
That would be such a weird thing for a parent to do. Like, it's weird, I think, for parents to call their kids, like, themey names. Like, you can do it for pets, but, like, to for boys, and to do it for someone who stabbed someone else would be bizarre.
I just loved it so much because they have Greco-Roman wrestling background, like, legit wrestling background. So to give them those,
and you learn something. Names, yeah.
It's so funny. Like,
but, okay, none of these names are their names. They're all fake names. Some of them are just like regular names. Like, some of them.
So
for the most part, for the most part, I would say that most of them, it's not their real names. Probably for like legal rights, trademark related issues. Yeah. In the past, we have seen, I think, even more people who've had their real names. I don't know. I haven't been keeping score. But yeah, it's all case by case. But I know that the legal aspect is something that they care about a lot because they want to own the name. You know, they're putting it on shirts and everything else.
That's why a lot of wrestlers who wrestle with one company and they show up in another company, they have a completely different name because they can't legally use the name in another company. And
that's
so
interesting.
Yeah. So, for instance, if we're going back to the women we saw first, Sasha Banks, her name is completely made up because her real name is Mercedes Vernado. Charlotte Flair, her name is made up.
Well, Ashley.
Yeah, her real name is Ashley Flair. Well, is that how they pronounce it? It's like German Flair.
Yeah, Flair. I think
it's something like
that. I'm not here to tell people how to pronounce their names.
That's Ric Flair's daughter. That's wow. Ric Flair's daughter. Her that's his real daughter. And then so Becky Lynch's real name is like Rebecca something. I forget. So then for Bianca Belair is kind of like the best representation of this. Bianca Belair's real name is Bianca Blair. They just kind of added an E in there in order to. So like the names could be either variations of their own names. It could be a completely different name. The biggest thing is they want it to sound like a name. They want to. This is the kind of like the reality era of wrestling. So you're going to get regular sounding names. You're not going to get the Undertaker anymore. You know, you're not going to get
the mayor of Slamtown.
Right. You know, you're going to get those kind of like real sounding names. Biggie, his real name is Etor. So it's like
dox them all, Mari. Just like pull Wikipedia.
It's public record.
How dare you? Yeah, the mayor of Slamtown is not his wrestling name, by the way.
What is that?
His wrestling name is John Morrison.
John Morrison.
I don't know
his
why.
His real name is John Hennigan, and then he's mayor of Slamtown.
That's his moniker. That's a nickname. Mm-hmm. He also went by Johnny Mundo.
Yes, Johnny Nitro. That's the one thing I can tell. This is intense.
Like, I feel like I'm seeing your brain expand. As we throw all this information at you, Shannon.
It's a whole world. It really is. It's a world that never stops.
Can just be like, there really is. It's really fun because sometimes the names work and sometimes they don't. So speaking of which, let's move on. So Braun Breaker versus Tommaso Ciampa.
What? No, that's a great name.
So Tommaso Ciampa, I think that's his real name. Let me just make sure. I think that is his real name.
That is a name. And yeah, I don't think
his real name is Tommaso Whitney.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
Yeah.
Whitney would be
right.
A good.
So yeah. So right. And then like Braun Breaker. Like, I hate that name so much. I really do. I just don't like it. But Braun himself he's so good. He's he is a Steiner. He is the son of Rick Steiner. Actually, that's his real name. His real name is Rex. Is it Rex Steiner? This is real
something.
Name?
Yeah. I'm like here in this Braun Breaker is a.
So
I'm like always so fascinated every time I look at this man.
Oh, his real name is Bronson Rick Steiner. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
He's ready to fight. He's new also. He's one of the newer people in the company.
Yes, so. That is right. He's new, but he is like a legacy, like a wrestling legacy. His father and his uncle were a part of a legendary tag team called the Steiner Brothers. And, I just love putting him on the show whenever I get a chance, mostly because every time I'm like, I'm so impressed by him, which is like, I rarely ever like praise male wrestlers in general because I prefer women wrestlers. But for him to be so young, he just started wrestling really in February, I think they said.
Yeah.
And he was really good on this promo against Tommaso Ciampa. He was a little nervous. You could tell he was a little nervous because he was kind of like stepping back in and out of the frame a little bit. But I love the levels of his promo because he did start off like pretty even keeled and then he took it up. Like he took it to that Steiner level of like,
I didn't need him to say, quote, I got the biggest balls in the locker room. Like no one asked.
Yeah, did not
for
need that.
That
either. Yeah,
there's a lot of testosterone. Aggressive. Like I think I have preferred as too well. Much. Like the female wrestlers. I think I was saying before the call, the podcast that like I felt like the female wrestlers had a more to me like clear characterization, but like for the men, it kind of got blurred and just like a lot of testosterone.
Probably,
a lot of the time.
Yeah, probably do a lot of like pre-workout or something like that. Like they're really Red Bull, maybe they're just jacked up on.
I feel like Red Bull must sponsor these competitions, which makes sense.
Honestly, that'd probably be really dangerous. Like throwing in Red Bull with like everything anything else that they have going on. Pre-workout is the secret for so many athletes. So wow. I'm guessing that's what it is. But I didn't need to know about it.
Yeah, and I think it's because Tommaso Ciampa had said, "Whoever has the biggest balls should." I don't know.
You don't have to repeat it.
Yeah, but he accepted Bronson's challenge for the title at Halloween Havoc. But the funny thing to me, the next clip that I put in, the follow up that I just loved, Tommaso was given a backstage talking about his matchup with Bron Breakker, and Joe Gacy walks up and calls him out and legit says, you were talking about balls back there. Let's not do that. That's a lot of toxic energy, I think he said. Yeah. He's like, this is a safe space. Joe Gacy had three promos on that night. Well, he had a promo early. He had a match, which is where this is from. I think he had like a slight promo after the match. And then he had this promo against Tommaso Ciampa. I really wish they had posted the other ones because I love this character, but I hate that he's a heel. His whole character, Joe Gacy's whole character, is he's like inclusivity. He's like, this is a safe space. This is a new era. He's like
saying it totally, just like that.
Yes. He's like totally Gen Z, like, you know, you will respect my pronouns type of person. And of course, in the WWE, that makes him a heel. And I hate it, but I love the character so much. Like, I really do. I'm so excited about the character. And it gives me a lot of Bo Dallas. When Bo Dallas was doing it, it's very much so that
the power of positivity.
Yes. Yes. New Day's power of positivity as well. It's very much that condescending, I'm better than you style heel. You guys know I love, Matt knows I love Right to Censor. That was like one of my favorite heel groups. And they are based off like in the early 2000s, they were based off like the parents censoring council. Like, whatever. I love that type of heel. I love that type of heel who's like, I'm morally better than you, because you honestly love to see those type of people get their comeuppance. But it's also just a weird space because I actually like what he says. He's talking about like he says the ring is the safe space. Everybody will be included in this butt whooping I'm going to give you, basically. But I just I don't know. I really like Joe Gacy, and it's just so funny to me that he's the bad guy when I like him. Shannon, what did you think about Joe Gacy versus Tommaso Ciampa? Just again talking here.
Yeah,
that's interesting as well.
Did you get any of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to come in and kind of understand the context of all of the talking, but that is really interesting that he is a heel. I don't know what that's saying about progress.
Oh, it says that WWE is trash, to be quite honest. But yeah,
I was waiting for you to say that, Mari.
They're trash. They do tend to do stuff like this where it's like, again, the morally high ground person is the bad person, but it kind of depends on what line do they fall on. So when I mentioned this, the group Right to Censor, it was poking fun at the ultra conservative parenting censorship boards, which is like, you know, depending on where you fall on. Yeah. That's Right to Censor, Shannon. Amazing. I love that group so much.
That's hilarious.
And just to describe,
they look like they're like the wrestling version of like Book of Mormon.
Yes, exactly. They
literally could not have described that better, with the white shirts. You know, sometimes you have to go with like a sleeveless white button up shirt, you know, just because you need to show off those muscles and tattoos.
Yeah.
Matching ties. They definitely look like
they would always come out. They would always come out, to give you some perspective, like back in the day in the Attitude Eras, they would have like bra and panty matches. They'd have really messed up stuff.
Well,
And they would come out during like the bra and panties matches and give the girls robes and talk about how immoral what the people are watching are doing and judge the people. And I loved it so much as a kid.
But I feel like you just come out and be like, do you want to be wearing this? It's like, yeah, okay, cool. No, okay, here's your robe. Like, you know, and that's how we progress.
They would just beat people up if they were like, yeah, they're they would beat.
Do you
want to
wear this robe? I actually don't, and then just beat that person.
Yeah, exactly. And but also it's like this. It's so weird to do a gimmick that's like on this line of like, okay, we're gonna give you Joe Gacy, because the first week he debuted, like the promo he cut was controversial. It was him saying like, I'm inclusive, I'm here for peace, I'm here. I just feel weird about it because I'm like, what is this character? WWE does not know how to handle a character like this effectively. So I don't
know. But it's not up to weird. WWE, it's up to him. He's the one who has to get this character over.
I mean, and he has to try if he could figure it out.
He's he's a heel. Yeah. So you know, he's getting the booze already. You know,
But is that audience? I wonder, is it the booze because they're like, oh, this is a horrible liberal, or is this like, I don't know. I wonder, they're in Florida. I have questions.
Exactly. It feels like the code probably knows their audience and knows what they'll hate. And maybe that's a little concerning.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
Although I'm sure fans probably run the gamut, but.
And I just like this. I do like this. It also goes back to like, the self-help guru who's like, I'm trying to help you while being very smarmy about it. So
while hitting you with a chair. I'm trying to help you.
Let me help you.
That's what you need to do. You know, just pull out a steel chair and just start swinging.
So we'll see where that goes. But so far, I do really like that. And, you know, Halloween Havoc, Tommaso Ciampa versus Bron Breakker. Next week, Joe Gacy is going to go up against Tommaso Ciampa. And if he wins, then he's added to that match. So that could be interesting, depending on what happened.
Yeah, I mean, especially if he wins, it's interesting because it's like, okay, now what do they do? Then they have a three-way match. And it's Bron Breakker and Joe Gacy and Tommaso Ciampa.
Right.
And anything could happen. I mean... Yeah. Like Tommaso Ciampa doesn't need to be pinned to lose the championship. So maybe that's a way to get Bron Breakker the championship. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I always love Tommaso Ciampa's intensity. Like he does legitimately scare me. So I think that's probably a good thing.
Exactly. So next up, we had Cora Jade. She made her debut against Frankie Monet. And this is Cora Jade. She's a 20-year-old. She's the one who came out on the skateboard. We've only previously seen her in the back talking to her boyfriend, who ended up coming out as well. But so it's a little weird for me because Cora Jade, when she comes out, you can definitely tell she's a rookie to me. I felt really nervous coming out to the ring on the little skateboard and holding the skateboard weird or whatever. But apparently, I think she does have some indie wrestling experience. She's not totally new to the game, I think, from what I understand. But she is the youngest active competitor on the WWE roster. And... Oh, she's 5'7". Wow. She did not look 5'7". So she thought she was coming out to beat up a jobber. So a jobber is somebody who basically is there to do the job, which means they're there to take the pin. And normally, if you're building up a new star, you have them go up against a few jobbers, get some easy wins, all of that type of thing. So, oh my God, they said she's been wrestling since like 2018. So she's been wrestling since she was 17. She's 21. My bad. She's 21. And so, but this, before her and the jobber could even lock up, all of a sudden, Frankie Monet pulls the jobber down, beats the jobber. And then, then Robert's
literally just trying to do their job.
Yes, literally. Robert Stone, Frankie Monet's manager, question mark, gets the ring announcer to change the match, which I'm just like, that's not really legal, but sure, let's go. And yeah. So it ended up being Frankie Monet versus Cora Jade, which here, Frankie Monet is married to John Morrison. I don't know if you knew that.
Actually. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of what's real.
Yeah.
Real.
I would have
trust issues too with this.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I did. I couldn't even have comprehended that they weren't actually married when I looked up the indie Hartwell stuff. So, I'll always second guess it now.
Yeah. So, Chaya Valkyrie.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
That's her other ring name. That's her ring name outside of WWE. Chaya Valkyrie. She's
married to
John Morrison. Mm-hmm.
They've been married since 2018. Real life.
Yeah,
but they're not associated in the storylines. They like to twist it up and switch it up.
Could they like fake marry other people, or you only really do that if you're like?
It could, but that would just be really freaky.
It's happened before in wrestling.
Send me the clip.
And it never really goes.
We have like 5 hours of content for you. Right. That's fake marriages.
Yeah, I'm here for the drama. So right. Yeah.
I mean,
so
bigamy, I'm in.
Yeah. So like write that down. Fake wrestling relationships for Shannon. Got it.
Yes.
There has to be like a countdown for that. That we could send her.
A lot of countdowns.
But Frankie ends up taking on Cora Jade, which is kind of a mismatch because Frankie is like very experienced wrestler. She's been wrestling for, I think, 10 or so plus years. Again, under Taya Valkyrie on the independent scene. And she really does start just 11 years. She's been wrestling for 11 years. She really just starts beating the mess out of Cora Jade. But Cora Jade ends up getting the win with a roll up. Very, very reminiscent again of the 1-2-3 Kid versus Ramon, Razor Ramon match, because the pin came out of nowhere.
That photo.
Yeah. That's what you call a roll up, Shannon, where it's just like, it looks like a fluke. While her boyfriend is there at ringside, and then they run off, and it was really cute. I really like this match. Good for Cora Jade. Frankie Monet is now like legit a heel. I know for a minute there we were kind of confused as to what her alignment was, but I would definitely say taking out that jobber and then beating Cora Jade up. And she was taunting her.
She's the one who's married to John Morrison.
That
provides so much context, I feel.
So afterwards we got Frankie Monet and Robert Stone being interviewed, and they're like, something has to change. I love her attitude here. I just love Frankie Monet. I really do. I say it every chance I get, and I love her entrance more than anything. I love her entrance and I love her song. So I think that's why she's over with me. But I'm really interested to see where this goes. I don't know if this means she's going to continue to fight with Cora, or because she just lost her title. She just had a title shot, and she didn't have the title. She lost a title shot last week. So I don't know if that puts her back down at the bottom of the.
I mean, it looks like what we might see is some kind of reshuffling with the Robert Stone, Frankie Monet relationship brand. So who knows what that'll look like, but that's the vibe I got, that like, maybe they'll reshuffle. Maybe they'll wear different outfits.
Cause Jesse wasn't out there.
I didn't think too much of that. but I do think I wonder what that changes that they
were alluding to.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Did this give you like underdog vibe for Cora Jade and all of that, Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like John Morrison's wife. Is that horrible that's how I think of her? Frankie Monet.
Frankie Monet.
She really stood out to me. Like the press conference that she gave I don't know. Like, she obviously has a big personality. She kind of reminded me of Bussy Phillips a little bit.
Yes. Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I saw it. And it was like, because yeah, she's like, okay, press conference time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She kind like, of cameras are on from now. It. Yeah. So I was like, this is a big character. So I see why you like her, because mm-hmm. she stood out to me, even though we're meant to not like her or love to hate her or whatever it is with the yeah. heel. So she said, I don't, because I don't know the whole thing about how this is like Cora Jade's first time or whatever. But she stood out to me that I was like, clearly she's a big character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Loved it. And then final, I mean, not finally, but next up, we got the Indy Hartwell stuff. So this was really interesting. So Indy came back from her honeymoon. She met up honeymoon. With her.
Well, it was a honeymoon.
Well, we saw it. So it happened.
It was a vacation. They aren't
this
married.
This is, I'm so sorry, Shannon. I'm sorry that they lied to
they
you.
They lied to me.
We're going to have to send her the recap of the relationship, the index relationship.
Oh, no, no, not the fan made.
Yeah, the fan
what?
Made.
What? What is this?
It like a fan did a great job of putting together the whole storyline of her, how her and her husband like met on the show. Like they like met, they got married, all of that. And it was a whole storyline. And a fan did a really good video and put it all together right before their wedding. And we used wedding. It as one of our clips. I loved it. I thought, what song did they have in the background? It was like very
that's what
emotional.
I'm trying to think about.
It was like so emotional.
It was a really popular song, and yeah. I feel like maybe it was like an Avril Lavigne song or something like that.
Oh, I thought
it might, maybe it was like a Paramore song. I don't
something.
Know.
But it was a tearjerker. Yeah,
it really was.
They did a great job, and so yeah. She introduces Persia Perota. Parada.
We'll
and it. Apparently they are friends. Like they did know each other.
Who knows anymore?
Right. They
are friends.
Australia. I don't know.
Same
they're
friend.
They're like Australian wrestlers together, I think.
Everyone in Australia is friends. It's a very small country. So I'm sure they just.
I mean, the Australian wrestling community seems very small from what we do know about it.
Australia is huge though.
Yeah, it's a huge expanse of land. It's as almost as big as North America, but it's only 25 million people.
Yeah.
So we know everyone. Everyone in Australia knows everyone. So I'm sure they're
really? Are you going to join their team? You
could I like actually know both of these people really well. That's why I was so upset about the fake marriage. I'd like sent a gift and everything and it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah. You actually responded to their register. Did you buy them a toaster? What did you?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, I mean, sad. What do wrestlers need?
A toaster is perfect.
Mostly
no, everyone
toasters.
Has a toaster. They don't need a new toaster. Like everyone has a toaster in
you
their.
You can
home.
Always have a new toaster.
I don't
everyone
think so.
Needs a no, new toaster.
Everyone's got their toaster that they want and they like buying them. That is like buying them like a bed. It's like they have a bed, you know. Like I don't know what wrestlers would put on the registry though.
Hmm.
So right. So I mean, I don't know. I hope some of their very
jump
like.
Rope.
Rich wrestling friends got them stuff because I can't afford it. But
yeah, but wasn't all so strange that like so her entire storyline was not just about them being married, but it was specifically like overly sexual honeymoon stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought it was real, so it was a lot. I thought this was a real relationship and a real thing happening. So
oh my
like,
gosh!
Wow,
it was a
really
lot.
Become quite intimate.
Indy was telling Persia about how the honeymoon was like really freaky and stuff while they were like walking down the hallway.
It was like a really long standing story. I went through all of the clips that you sent me.
Every single clip. I was like, yo, they are.
I was
like
I have a real sense of who you're meant to be, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. And I mean, it makes sense because again, their storyline was kind of like she was like obsessed with him, you know? So
what is this making Australians look like?
That's a great
question. Well, she's very over.
That's,
I mean,
you're asking
her,
the tough question.
Okay.
You're asking the tough questions, though, because
I don't. But I don't think of it. Oh, like all Australians are sex
freaks.
I just think Indy Hartwell is.
She's a freak. She's the freaky. She's the freakiest freak.
Really, there it's gonna go. Be up to Maddie Wahlberg to make Australians see. More regular,
not
maybe.
Sex crazed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all we have to hope is that he also won't be sex crazed, and that because if he is, then I feel like it'll be like confirmation
yeah,
bias.
Then we'll have to. Then yeah. That's where.
Then we'll have to look
line.
At it. Yeah. Then we'll be like, all right, well, that's weird.
Line.
Yeah.
That's where we play the jingle music.
Yeah.
We'll call
is
you.
Is this offensive?
If that's
but like, is that like her real accent and stuff?
Yeah.
It better be.
I don't know if she's like playing like an overly like Australian, but she was just regularly Australian.
No,
but
I think
but
it's
now
her
I'm like,
real.
I don't trust anything. I don't trust
as
anybody.
As far as I was about to say, yeah. As far as I know, that's been her accent consistently.
Oh, it better be her real accent.
Yeah.
Because if it's not,
that would be shocking.
She's not even Australian.
Yeah, she definitely. I know that, but I never even stopped to guess that.
Huh. Have they ever had like an overly Australian character, like the way they did, like the Soprano style?
I mean,
because what would that be? Because you could do stuff with that.
They did.
You could do like a Crocodile Dundee type. You could do that.
They
had the what's the
Bushwhackers?
Yeah, the Bushwhackers.
Were they Australian?
They were Australian.
Holy shnikes.
But they were actually Australian. Well, wait, what? Oh my gosh.
What is
I've
real?
Been doing,
oh, being
talk about
do.
So much Googling. I've been doing
Mari,
a lot
stop
of Googling.
Shut
you knew I was going to come in with questions and I want my questions answered.
We need Google to be down.
Oh my God,
right
they're from New Zealand. The Bushwhackers are from New Zealand.
Fall down the wrestling rabbit hole.
The ultimate betrayal.
Oh my God. Wait, they're from New Zealand?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard
them.
Did
they claim to be from Australia? Oh, I have. They were on like Boy Meets World.
I assume they were like Appalachian.
Oh, never mind. It's false alarm. They were billed from New Zealand. I'm okay. I apologize.
Because if they
I'm
were
sorry.
New Zealand and then billed from Australia, that would be a very American thing to do.
That's
why we
assume
they did it.
Yeah, I could see it.
Oh my God.
I did not know that. Honestly, that's crazy.
We're all learning stuff today.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
But so then they accidentally walked in on Tien Shaw and Boa doing, I don't know. They were just sitting there. It really looked like
there was a lot of
smoking. Yeah. Uh-huh. So then Indy ended up in the ring against Mei Ying, because Mei Ying is Tien Shaw's the whole group, but Xia Ling just got Xia Li just got called up to the main roster. She's on SmackDown now. And so now it's just Mei Ying and Boa. But I feel like this gimmick is dead because she just lost. And this is supposed to be a supernatural character. And they've been building this character since the beginning of this year. And this was definitely one of the storylines earlier where we were like, is this offensive? Because it was.
Is this offensive?
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Because, yes. You know, it was like a lot of Chinese torture style vignettes to get these people into like shape.
Yeah, so they didn't need the torture.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Do we ever need the torture?
No.
Sometimes.
But
some
I
people
did
like indie freakiest freak maybe
freakiest
into it.
Freak.
I don't judge. I'm not
no
here to shame.
Here.
No,
but I did like this. This was Indy's first match back from the honeymoon, but also like in a long time and without Dexter because she kept saying that Dexter is back at home recuperating from all the love making they were having or whatever.
That's another.
Yeah,
she very made sure that we knew why he was not there. And so it was really funny because she emphasized, like, she came out, she put her ring to the camera, she took her ring off, made sure everybody saw she took her ring off, gave it to Persia, which I love. As somebody who's married and like knowing like and who works in healthcare, who wore a lot of gloves. I'm like, I have to take this off, you know? And I just love how it's just so precious. It was the first thing she asked for once the match was over. And then the crowd was chanting Mrs. Loomis at her.
Yeah, imagine watching all so of that cute. And thinking it's real and then Wikipedia and it wasn't. That's what
and
I'm
you're
saying.
Like, oh, did she actually take his last name? Oh, wait, no, she didn't. Wait, what's going on? Wait, they're not married?
They're not so married?
Confused. I was so confused.
It was so cute. I know it's weird because a lot of it was her talking about his junk.
It was
but.
Well,
I loved it.
Was it romantic? No.
No, but it was charming.
Was it? I mean,
it was
charming.
It was charming.
So
was it?
It was charming.
It depends who you ask, but not to everybody.
The NXT universe loved it. So
okay, is she a heel? No. Yes.
No. She's a good guy.
She's a good guy.
Yeah.
She's over. After she had, they had, her and Persia had a promo because during the show, which we didn't have a clip, they kind of challenged Zoe Stark and Io Shirai for the tag belts. They said they're coming for the tag belts next. You know, after she goes back home to then do more sexy stuff to Dexter.
We don't know.
I love that.
We know where Zoe is going.
No, not that part. I love that they're going for the
Which I love that. That's what you just said. That's what you just said.
That's what I said. But I mean the tag titles part. I love
like, that is the out of context part.
Sure.
Way too into it. Yeah.
So I just love the storyline. I love Indy. I'm really excited to see Persia in the ring and all of that. So, and again, if they're a legitimate tag team, I will be excited to see if they take the belts off of Zoe and Io, to be quite honest. Matt, you look like were you going to say something?
Literally nothing. Okay. Because this is the thing. I'm like,
nothing,
this,
but then he said something.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It's just like this. It's getting freakier. That's the thing. Like, it wasn't as freaky a month ago. It didn't feel as overtly freaky.
Well, they had a bit on the honeymoon a month ago. Maybe they were saving themselves from their fake marriage.
They were, I think.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
This world is so strange, guys. It's very
It is.
Weird. It is. It's
very
it is
really very, very odd.
Yeah. So, next up we had this was really cool. This was a fatal four-way match for the NXT tag titles, right? And also it was an elimination style match. So it's a fatal four-way. This probably was kind of confusing to watch, but in a fatal four-way elimination style match, only two guys are in the ring, right? But there are tag teams at each corner and you can get tagged in by anybody. You know, because the good thing is if you're tagged in, then that means you can possibly win. But also you could possibly lose if you get pinned or whatever. So an elimination style match is when they go team by team. If you get pinned, you're out. Then they keep going till the next team gets pinned. And then finally till there's only one more team left. So this was really cool because there is a lot of high flying. There's a lot of different move sets. But the biggest thing was the crowd reaction. So this crowd reaction was really interesting. The crowd was hot. The NXT crowd was hot, you know, this night. That crowd loves Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. I am slightly shocked. MSK was a really big fan favorite, but to be quite honest, they haven't been on the show for weeks now. And that's the sad thing about it. People like them wrestling and then they haven't been wrestling for weeks. And so people forget why they weren't, nobody was cheering for the champions, which was weird to me. So
I'll say with that though, people were booing them even before they were off TV for a while, just because like, I kind of get it. Like they're just corny and they're around and they're like, but I don't exactly know why people started to turn on them when they did, but mm-hmm. I remember back to that match that was MSK a couple months ago, MSK versus Tommaso Ciampa and
Timothy Thatcher,
mm-hmm. and they were very much against MSK in that situation. So I don't know what they did, but
yeah,
the people don't love them for whatever reason.
Which sucks because I do like MSK.
Actually, maybe they never really liked them that much.
I don't know, but MSK hasn't really had anything to really sink their teeth in other than winning the Dusty Cup, then winning the titles. The only program that they did have so far, like you said, was against Ciampa and Thatcher, and it was two faces, so that might have been the problem. They might need to turn them heel or something. I don't know. But yeah, the crowd, so Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams went out first. So the crowd actually started chanting, "We want Melo," which is like cool because he's really over and he's pretty new. I mean, to the roster, but I kind of see why, because why would you take out Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams first when you have Briggs and Jensen there who nobody knows? Matt, do you have the pictures? either like a taller redneck. Yeah, looking
they don't
guy.
Have any pictures of most of the that. This is the thing that's so bizarre about all of this. But yeah, okay. It's like literally there's a.
Wow! Oh, so,
whoa! Because that's what it came down to. It came down to the grizzled young veterans versus MSK. And to be quite honest, like once you get down to that, I don't care about the grizzled young veterans. I don't know who Briggs and Jensen are. You know. So if you're not behind MSK, you're not behind grizzled young veterans, then I get why the crowd kind of turned on it. But it was a really good match. MSK ended up prevailing, but again, throughout the match they were chanting for Carmelo Hayes, and then Imperium came out afterwards to beat up MSK to ask for the title, and then the people really booed all of it. Like it just didn't look like the crowd wanted any of it. And Imperium are supposed to be bad, but I the crowd normally reacts pretty positively to Imperium. So I don't know, man. I don't know why the NXT crowd is turning on the tag division here.
Well, I mean, I think it's more than anything. They haven't been fans of MSK. They've liked Imperium a lot. That's the thing. Like, you can't force the shift. You can't force the fans to do anything in wrestling, right? And this is just something where I think they're kind of forcing MSK for an audience that hasn't really shown them a ton of love, especially over the last like handful of months. And so maybe you need to go in a different direction and shift. Maybe toward Imperium. Who knows? I didn't really feel any like strong way toward Imperium. I think like literally they're like wearing black in the basic trunks, and it's like, okay, cool, you're wrestlers. But I mean, it would be nice if they had more flair to them, but people like them, I guess, for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Anything from you thought about from this clip, Sheena?
My major thing was, who was fighting in jeans?
Yeah, that's Briggs and Jensen. They're kind of like, I don't know if that's defensive, but that's kind of, their characters are kind of like truckers, like redneck.
Wrestling in jeans would be guys. Very difficult and horrible, like honestly terrible.
They might have some like stretchy jeans.
Are they jegging? Are they fighting jegging?
They could be jegging. I love a good pair of jeggings. Yeah.
Me too.
I mean, actually, it's sucks what society did to jeggings, you know? Because I spent like all of high school wearing jeggings. Yeah. And now jeggings, like, you know, I think ever since Blair Waldorf said like tights aren't pants, like then I was like, I can't wear jeggings anymore. But jeggings have a real like societal purpose that I feel goes unnoticed.
I don't care. I'll rock a jegging, man.
If they're wearing jeggings, I am obsessed with that. Like, if they are wearing, even like a jeans jeggings hybrid, I would be very into that.
It's all about the four flex jeans. That's what I'm saying. You have to get the jeans that you could do this to and stretch them out a little bit. Then you could do backflips in them, front flips, side flips. All of the flips.
Because I was like, a lot of these outfits look very uncomfortable, but jeans is somehow the worst of all of them.
Yeah. They really are.
Right,
they also have very uncomfortable shoes that they were wearing. Like, it almost looked like dress shoes.
Dress shoes.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Wardrobe did not help them out.
Maybe they're brand new. So they have
they
to,
are.
Their outfits are in the mail.
They just kind of showed up to the event, took their shirts off, and started wrestling.
They're like, well, we're ready.
This is what we came in. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. We got to move on because we can't be here all day.
We can't?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's day for me, but it's night for you. I feel bad for you guys. It's late.
No, love it. We love it.
Thank you for
night.
Accommodating the time.
I am starting to realize I do not. I think I like my Saturday mornings. I feel like I just.
Yeah, we love a good Saturday morning. Potentially 1 a.m. for Shannon. Shout out to Sarah Carradine, who somehow survived that.
We couldn't
do it. We don't have that.
Yeah, I don't know. Did stamina.
We Yeah, we don't have the stamina. So
yeah.
But speaking of stamina, we're going to power through talking about AEW All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, and we have to talk about, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but on, see, this is why I don't, my brain is like really, their secondary show, Rampage.
I'm not laughing
at there it is. You. Last Friday on Rampage, they had a really good match between Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Thunder Rosa. At first, I was like, wait, did I just say Rose two times? It is. It's Nyla Rose, Jade Cargill, and Thunder Rosa. It was a great triple threat match. Oh, my gosh. Like, wow. And not only that, but Jade Cargill won. And the reason why that's, like, really exceptional was because earlier last week, Jade Cargill went was trending on Twitter. Like, legit Naomi style trending on Twitter, like Black Twitter. They found her and they were just like, yes. And she was trending. She went viral just on a random Tuesday or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually capitalized on it by having her win this triple threat. And, you know, putting her one step closer to facing for the title. But I really love this. I really love this freaking match, especially like all three of them are like women of color, too. And it was just, I really like this match. What did you think about this match, Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying about like the female wrestling spoke to me a little more with that like extreme characterization. I felt like I understood it a lot more. Maybe, you know, extreme stereotypes from the men aside. Like, I don't know, you know, is it so basic that I'm like, yeah, the outfits and whatever, like, it's cool and fun in a way that I found more than the men's for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that's like what it should be that simple. Like, wrestling isn't meant to be complicated or overly academic or something you need to like put in a ton of brain power into, even though we attempt
you
to
guys
do that
extremely
constantly.
Do. Yeah.
That's what we are here for. Mm-hmm. We're the brains behind the behind the wrestling
behind
operation
the
sometimes. Yeah behind mm-hmm. the brawn. Yeah. And
that's what you should subtitle your podcast.
Brains
wrestling wrap up, the brains behind the brawn. I've got so many ideas for
brawn beauty.
Oh,
I've got
please.
Jingles. Yes, brains for beauty. Yes,
we need. Yeah. We need more.
I love that.
We're both the beauty. Mari's the brains. Mari's also the
we're
brawn.
We're both the brains. We're both the beauty. You're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, thank
born.
You, Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to take the beauty and run. But but speaking of brains, brawn, and beauty, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa. I love this match. I loved just one. I mean, in general, Jade Cargill is a newer wrestler compared with the other two by far. And it was nice to see her in there because she didn't look as green or inexperienced, in other words, as we might be used to seeing. Like in NXT 2.0, to compare for a second, I think a lot of wrestlers are definitely developing, but definitely a little bit more exposed in their newness. Whereas this was a good match for Jade. Like, I was actually really excited to see how they all moved around. Like, I liked the table spot that happened where I think Thunder Rosa put Nyla Rose through the table and then like didn't even like fall with an elbow, just kind of fell onto her after.
Almost like she was tired. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like these characters, though. Like, even I've had this graphic up on screen forever because I just like looking at these three distinct, powerful superheroes in front of us. So this is like, this was really fun to take in. And even though it is like a wrestling match, which could be hard to kind of follow along with the story, I felt like they were conveying, like, you could feel the emotion of it without them like standing on a mic and like cutting promos for hours.
Exactly.
You know?
Very much so. I completely agree with that. And I mean, just three really good workers. Thunder Rosa always brings that like intensity, that just do anything type of deathmatch feel kind of. And then Nyla Rose is just the huge powerhouse of a wrestler. Like, she can just do amazing things. And then so can Jade. So it's just like, we, especially when they did that kind of that face off, just the two of them at the beginning, like people have been wanting like a Jade versus Nyla, like proper feud for like the longest time, because you love when two like they call that a hoss match, like two just big a hoss match. Yeah, it's just like just
two hosses.
Yep,
you know, you can keep saying it. It's yeah, I don't know what that means. Like,
it's like huge. Like they're just huge wrestlers. Like, and normally you can call it like a hoss match when they call with men, but it's women too. Like, those are just really like well built ladies, and they are just going. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's sometimes you want to see, because you know some matches you'll have like the wrestlers are like, some of them are smaller than the others, or sometimes, you know, sometimes they're just two small wrestlers, but it's like a hoss match, it's two big wrestlers. I love this. I'm so glad. I'm glad she won. I'm glad that they're pushing her. Yeah. I'm glad they gave the women time, all of that good stuff.
Yeah. And apparently, like we mentioned, the TBS title and the women's, the secondary women's championship, which is being introduced. And so, hopefully that means we'll see more of the women getting more time on the shows.
Exactly.
But we'll see.
Exactly. So now talk about a train wreck, like in a good way. It was just bodies flying everywhere. We got Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Adam Cole, also known as the Super Elite, versus Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage, and the Jurassic Express, which is made up of Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. So this was like a 8-man tag match. And it was just, I mean, it was bodies flying everywhere. A couple of really cool spots. Shannon, can I just get your quick thoughts on this before I tell you something very interesting?
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. You guys sent me these clips this morning, and the last clip I watched included someone being basically thrown from a ladder, and most of my thoughts then went into that clip, and everything else became a little bit of a blur. So I get that. this was less extreme to me than that.
Yes, and this one was like, it was just like a lot of super kicks. Like that, I think it ended on a three-way super kick. Was that it was a three-way super kick, right, Matt? Or was it like knees? I don't know.
It's a move that they do that I'm blanking on the name, but essentially it's like a three-way knee sandwich, basically.
Okay, yeah,
that's a knee sandwich.
But it was a really, really interesting match. I mean, I know how it can, I definitely know how it can be confusing when you don't know any of these people, because I mean, sometimes half the time I don't know half of these people when I check into AEW. But, one of the things I thought interesting to point out was, did you notice there's a wrestling dinosaur there? There's a dude called Luchasaurus. He had the green mask on. He had a few really good spots in that match where he dominated. That is Austin from BB17. We would love to bring that up on this podcast, but it's just amazing to see where he is right now.
As a wrestling dinosaur, which is a choice, you know? You didn't have to be a dinosaur. You didn't have to wrestle. And he does it all. He does both of them.
Both of those things. Yeah.
But I think
it's... And is that offensive to dinosaurs, though?
They're potentially. None to ask.
Yeah. Well, I can't even ask them. I can't even get representation.
Yeah.
Barney, maybe. Ask around. Yeah, this is some good dinosaur action there with Luchasaurus. It's a choice.
Really a lot.
I don't think I could see him being cast on Big Brother, though. You like that zoom effect?
I think I got it. Zoomed out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, he is literally over as a wrestling dinosaur right now. That's crazy.
He looks more like a swamp monster. What was that movie about the swamp monster? That's what that is.
Swamp thing?
No, the one that won the Oscar.
Shape of Water.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
He, He was literally evicted with no shoes on, and now he's wrestling as
a dinosaur. That's sad. Everyone has a right to wear shoes on their way out the Big Brother house.
Not Vanessa Russo did not think so. So
old memories.
So I'm so sad. Glad you guys like pick up, like, yeah, because I was watching Bachelor in Paradise this week and there was all these surprise breakups and they were all leaving barefoot and I was like, what's the end game here? You're not wearing shoes. Like, you need shoes.
Yeah, we take it very personally. Just give him a pair of shoes. Yeah, please.
And you could see some of them walking like upstairs and their feet were so dirty and I like kept pointing it out because I was like, why is no one wearing shoes? Like, not, it wasn't even on the beach, it was at the prom. Anyway, these are things that I think about.
You're bringing me back to last week when we saw Charlotte Flair booting people in the face. We've seen her do that barefoot. I think that barefoot feet to the face should be banned for toe fungus reasons.
But do I want a chunky heel in my face? I don't want a chunky heel.
No, but
one's safer and one's more hygienic.
Yes, exactly.
That's the duality.
That choice.
These people's feet can't be.
They should have the right to choose between shoe and non-shoe. They should, yeah.
Charlotte, if it's coming, if no,
that's what the parents' council one. They come in and be like, "All right, do you want the shoe or do you no shoe? Which one?"
Yeah, bring back the parents' council. We need them to figure that stuff out. I want wrestling to be safe and hygienic.
And then finally, like Shannon said, we had the casino ladder match for the number one contendership. So Full Gear is right around the corner. Full Gear will be on November 13th. So they needed to find a number one contender for Kenny Omega's AEW championship. And I mean, they had so many people in that match that could all legitimately face for that title. They had Andre El Idolo. They had John Moxley, Lance Archer. Who else? Matt Hardy was all in that match. Bastard Pack. Yeah, there you go. Orange Cassidy. They were all in that match. And then there was
the Joker.
The surprise Joker.
They love to do the Joker thing.
They do.
And it's so fascinating to me that they're so, this is like, they just love to surprise us. But I love that they call it the Joker. And I always, for me, it's not personally the most exciting thing. But it is always cool because you know that you're going to get a surprise whenever you see a Joker. It's like, it's better than it being just a random surprise. It's like, ooh, we know that someone's coming. So let's start speculating. I think that's actually really smart from AEW, All Elite Wrestling, to build that in, right?
Yeah, but they also need to kind of figure something out because I think the Jokers have won the last few, though, too.
I mean, when you're a surprise element, an unknown quantity, I think words, you know, it's like you never, it makes sense logically, like outside of storylines, that someone who's a surprise would do better than someone who's not a surprise.
Yeah. So the Joker ended up being Hangman Adam Page. He returned after being off TV for a minute, maybe like a month or two, like that.
Yeah, from early August. Before All Out. And he was out because around the time of the All Out pay-per-view in early, actually a month ago, his wife was pregnant. So I believe he has a baby.
His real wife?
Yes. Real wife. His real wife had a real baby.
Real life.
Yeah. And so he came back to Aurora's crowd and he ended up winning. And I'm so happy because we know I am a Hangman Adam Page fan. I'm so glad he's finally going to face Kenny for that title. Hopefully he wins. But so excited. So excited for this. So happy for him. This is how you get around that whole not being able to challenge for the title thing stipulation that he had a few weeks before he left. he lost the match, that the stipulation was he couldn't challenge for the title. He'd have to go back to the end of the line. So I'm happy for this. I can't wait. I will be interested to see if they put the title on him. Because with all the new signings, I really thought he was going to get pushed to the back burner.
I think that he's fine. Like, they could give it time, but I don't. Yeah, I don't really know what to. Exactly. You brought the new signings, and I'm not sure. I guess that Hangman. They call him Hangman, and I'm like, is it Hangman or Hangman?
Hangman
would be a good last. Well,
he's,
I don't
not
know if that's a
gold
good last
man.
Friend. Hangman.
Goldman.
Hangman.
Goldman.
Gold. Golden. Yeah. Gold man.
Hangman Adam Page.
See, Hangman would be his last name and Hangman would be more of a title.
It's a title, yeah.
What if
Hangman Adam Page.
What about if it's his first name, like Hangman, and then Adam's his
name? Oh, they have been calling him Hangman Page as well. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Well,
yeah.
He won.
He did win.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on AEW in general? Shannon, do you have any thoughts on AEW in general?
I just thought this match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are they alive was my question.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That
from
is
a ladder. Like this, like I understand that there's like an art and a choreography to hopefully not get injured through things that look violent, but I don't understand how you don't get injured in that. Like you can't control that. That is like falling from a great height in like a scary way.
Yeah. So the ladders are kind of, not solid. They're kind of trick ladders. You know, they're not like real ladders. Yeah. Mm. They fall a certain way to protect themselves, which is called bumping.
That would be so odd and scary though.
Yeah. The guy, Matt Hardy, who went through, there's a few ladder spots, but a lot of them have been doing this for years, which is also
ladder
shocking.
Wrestling. It's a subgenre that I
which like
that.
Doesn't make it, better truly, but, because
they're expert ladder fallers.
I would hate to be in any of their bodies like today, you know, just like physically feeling that pain. So
I can't remember if it was in the clip, like if they got the shot, but I was watching this live and who was it? Was it, I want to say it was Moxley. No, it was Hangman Page and the Bastard Pack. They did this thing where they were on the rope and they did like a, a tiger driver into a table that Pack set up.
Yeah, it was.
And did you see that? Like, it looked like Hangman, it looked like Hangman kind of fell on, Pac's head, and after that Pac rolled out of the ring and he was not seen in the ring again, and you could tell like he stayed down where he was. The refs were there, are two refs kind of guarding him, making sure nobody else like fell on him. So I'm really wondering, I hope he's okay. It didn't look like they didn't get medical out there like during the match. So I don't know, maybe he was okay enough that they didn't need it while he was out there, but I'm trying to look at the clip. If it looks like they may have skipped over it. So that's a good thing.
All of that continues to be a lot.
Yeah, and I didn't see anything about him being injured after the show.
Yeah, I didn't see anything either. Like that.
So that's always the important
That is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I mean, maybe
they showed
it. Yeah, I think he was mostly okay, which is that's the important part of the professionals being in here. But yeah, hopefully everyone's okay from that ladder match.
Hopefully everybody's okay, but that looked like a really bad bump, yo. Like, and I'm sorry, I'm just rewatching it as well. Like, it really was bad. It also looked like the refs relayed the situation to the other competitors as well. So, like Matt said, I didn't hear anything like an injury update or anything like that. So, hopefully everybody is good. And, you know, accidents happen, unfortunately.
Oof, that's awful. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff is scary, like legitimately so.
Mm-hmm. And like the thing is, like, these are all professionals. They're really good at what they do. And even with that, you know, accidents happen, just like
any sport. Yeah.
Sports. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So no update on anything. Oh, is it a destroyer? Is it destroyer? Okay, well, that is the last of our highlights for the week. Again, the highlights can be found in the show notes in the description box in YouTube. I need to go to sleep.
Yeah.
and that's what we're going to do. We're going to end it here. Shannon, before we go, first off, thank you for being a great guest.
No, thank you for having me. Shannon. I learned a lot. I have so many facts now. People are going to be hearing them whether they like it or not.
And we have a lot to think about. We have a lot to think about because of you. You've been the mirror. You've held up a mirror to our lives here on the Wrestling Rehab. And you've said, are you people okay watching this, taking this in?
She's like, we're just not okay.
Being exposed to this violence, this brutality, this cruelty. You've been the mirror that we've needed.
But don't want to look at.
We don't want to look at it, so we can't thank you for that, but we do appreciate you.
Yeah.
We do.
You know, you take that mirror, you
smash
hit someone
it
over the head with it. Yeah. That's what it is.
You're a quick learner.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it. Exactly the wrestling world that we love.
So, Shannon, tell us what you like the most, what you took away. Like, who are some of your wrestlers that you are, like, fans of? Like, you could say you really like, you might want to hear updates about.
Well, I feel like I got to go with fake Australian Indy Hartwell.
Wait, I think that's the only real part about her.
No, I don't believe anything that she does. I mean, I want to know that it's going okay. I want to know that a fake marriage is okay. What if they get fake divorce? I just care about
that would be so sad. Oh my God. Don't say that, Shannon.
Well, what is it? Fake kids? You know, they got married. Believe me, look, I got married 2 years ago and everything is like, and what next? I'm like, I don't know, I'm being married. Like, you know, so what's going to happen next with them? Would be my question.
No.
Do you think she kind of just like, maybe, yeah, like maybe her family thinks it's real or their families think it's real and they're just like,
I still think it's real.
It's real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
Suspend that disbelief. So I care about her. Obviously, we didn't get to see anything of him, but I watched the clip and I care how Maddie Wahlberg continues to do. Mm-hmm. All the Australians, I wish the best for them because, as I said, we all know each other personally.
You do.
Those ones really stuck out to me. I like John Hennigan's wife. I'm so sorry that I'll continue to refer to her as such. But yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes with the draft, just screwing everything up. Hopefully that all lines up for you guys. I can tell it's a frustration. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's complicated. But you know what? That's the world of wrestling. Very complicated. We're going to get our little red string and our things to tie it to. And we will, along with the clips that we send you, we're also going to send you a picture of the string just to clarify everything that we talked about today. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, I watched the clips and I Wikipedia'd wrestling and it was overwhelming.
I'm so sorry.
So that's been
probably the ultimate
trying to prep, like literally just like wrestling for dummies, just like got the book and like reading it. I'm like, interesting. That was me. No, but I appreciate the education. I do.
Yeah, no problem. I'm already like sending links your way. So you're going to come right up. More just indie links because you have to.
I want to see the wedding.
I found the story so wedding. Far.
I don't play the story with the fake so wedding. Far.
Cool.
Wow.
I'll send you the fake wedding.
This is deep. We'll ask you about that more later at some point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shannon, can you plug yourself? Tell the people where they can find you, what you're up to, all that good stuff.
Yes, at Shannon Gates. As I said, I just finished content for Australian Survivor and Survivor South Africa. If anyone wants to go back and watch any seasons, Australian Survivor, the last three seasons, which are the three that I covered, are now on Paramount Plus in the US. So if you want to hear me talk, you can watch those and you can listen to me. And yeah, I'm covering US Survivor every week on Survivor Global with international guests. So that's been a fun time. And I hope to devote half as much passion and research as you guys do to wrestling to that.
You go above and beyond.
I mean, look, I feel like I appreciate your level of knowledge about this. I'm like, I see you. Like, I appreciate that. That's what I try to do with Survivor.
We appreciate that.
We just, do.
We really do.
Yeah, I'm about to go rewatch the episode, basically, so I can.
This season's been really good and very rewatchable. So
yeah, no, it's been fun. And it's 40 minutes, which is nothing like compared to international, where in 1 week of Australian Survivor, I'm covering like 3 hours. Again, it's not as much as wrestling, so I feel bad complaining about it. But it's like the closest you'll get in the Survivor world. It's 3 nights a week, which is again nothing compared to. Mm-hmm. Wrestling, but it's a lot.
That's a lot.
It feels like a lot.
Oof. Yeah, it's a lot, and we're lucky because Big Brother just like wrapped up, so that's like,
yeah, and that's a lot.
Ooh, I'm glad. It was a great season, but I'm so glad.
Yeah, I saw you on watching. BuzzFeed. That's so cool.
Yes, thank you.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Mari, I know you don't usually plug yourself first, but like, where can the people find you?
Why not? You can find me on Twitter and Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Like Shannon said, I did I was on the BuzzFeed Daily Podcast talking about the historic season of BB23 and the historic Alliance, the cookout. They asked me about my opinions on the cookout, and
they did.
I did it. I need to like tag them. Yeah, I want to like tag them so they see it. But then I also don't want them.
You should kind of repost that. You should do that before.
It's my pinned tweet. If you want,
I was gonna say
it's my pinned tweet. So just go to my Twitter and it's there. What are you about to say, Matt?
You need to do that. You need to post it and tag them before I post. Actually, I'm gonna post it and tag them, all of them, if I could fit them all in a tweet. I might ignore Kylan, but that's, you know.
Right.
Personal.
Jeez.
Oh, trying to start a fight here.
That's horrible.
Where else could the people find you, Mari? Yes, is that all the places?
No. I just was on oh my god. Well, I was just on the Survivor Patron Q&A, like we said. Become a patron of RHAP and you can have access to that. That will probably be the last time I talk Survivor because I'm fine. I love watching Survivor and I love listening to people like Shannon talk about Survivor. Oh. Yeah, that's Big Brother is more my fort. So, I also did 90 Day Fiance with Puya. And I took over as guest co-host for the Bachelor in Paradise podcast last week. But rest assured, Haley is back and they did a great job this week. Check me out. Check out some of my podcasts. Matt, where can the people find you?
I'm here on the Wrestling Rehab. That is the key place people could find me. And it's been a nice, calm, smooth life over here. Survivor coverage is like a thing that I've been watching Survivor closely and still planning on some stuff coming up around Survivor this season. So that'll stay tuned for that. But also I covered three podcast episodes, my nice little like pace about the Black Widow Brigade.
Yes.
Starring the one and only Shannon Gus. Shannon was like the hero of this show.
Well, don't spoil it.
On the podcast, all we did, you were nice. Not only a face.
I was a baby face.
The face. You were the baby face.
It was a good edit.
That was a lot of fun. And
nice.
I'm actually talking with Alex Gardner.
That's so great.
That to interview him for a podcast. It's so funny, like podcasting about podcasters who we podcast with and others in this universe. But cool. It feels cool. It's like a weird way of like, I don't know. I feel like I'm like my own little Rob Sesternino, but with Black Widow Brigade. So that's a lot of fun to be able to do. And yeah, some more content, bonus content coming out around that. But yeah, other than that, you can find me at Matt Scott GW. And I'm pretty sure you plagued plugged your Twitter, Mari, but yes, I plugged your Twitter too on the last Black Widow Brigade podcast. Mari talks too much to like the number two, in case you didn't know. Mm-hmm. But that's the place. Those are the places. That's the place, Mari.
And people should watch Black Widow Brigade. That's a YouTube series. Like if you like wrestling, I feel like there was a lot like battles between good and evil, but more strategic, but less hitting people with chairs. But yeah, I feel like a lot of those concepts are what made it narratively really interesting. So there was some synergy there.
So yeah, check that out. We'll link that in the show notes.
We'll link
I tweeted it. Follow me.
What don't we link? Yeah, just follow Shannon. Shannon, where can people find you again? Follow you
at Shannon Gaitz, G-A-I-T-Z. That's my maiden name for anyone who doesn't know, because I got actually married and it was real. It wasn't fake. And everything on the registry I deserved because I got married. I paid for it.
I believe you.
Well, I want to, but I have trust issues now. So thank you for wrestling.
So you don't even know if your wrestling is real, your wedding is real. You'd be like, this is all
no.
What is not real trust, anymore?
I don't know. I don't trust anything. Are you two even real?
Well, did Young Rock ever happen? I still don't know.
I don't remember anymore. No. Yeah, maybe not.
Well,
this is a rough way to end.
Extremely tentative grasp on reality to end this podcast.
All of the questions. Well, until next time, watch out for any flying fake elbows. We'll see you next week.
No, you can't say that.
Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.